much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Well, I just wanted to say, A, glad this phase is over. B, I'm looking forward to you getting back to work and looking forward to you competing like I know you're gonna. And now it's time to do what you're here to do.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Oh, anyone who catches the monkey man, there's a $50,000 reward.
Chuck, actually, no, it's 50,000 rupees. It's in Indian money.
The heck you said?
What does that work out to be in English?
As that was coming out of my mouth, I knew that it was wrong.
You know, you guys ought to watch it. Making fun of people like that, you could hurt their feelings.
Do you get?
I didn't think so.
Why do you talk that way?
And now.
Why did we agree to do this?
Why did we agree to do anything?
I hate us.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday morning. What's happening?
What's happening is, I don't ordinarily recommend that you skip today's Kevin and Bean Show, but you're going to be able to.
Why?
3 minutes from now, because you will have already heard the best thing that's going to be on the program all day today.
We got Jay Moore today.
Yep, fine. This is going to be better.
You're crazy.
We are going to peak early, and then it's just going to be a slow, sad decline till 10 a.m.
Really?
We'll be the judge of that.
All right, I'll let you be the judge of that as I tell you a story that's in the news this week from Laguna Beach. Saturday afternoon in the 400 block of Hill Street, a Laguna Beach cop was flagged down by a couple who said they were worried about a man they had spotted sitting alone in his car. You guys remember how hot it was on Saturday?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sitting alone in his car with the windows rolled up. Mm. And they said, this looks pretty bad. This guy doesn't look good. The police went over there and knocked on the window. And the guy was, fortunately, still alive. He was drenched in sweat, white as a sheet. He'd been passing out, was severely dehydrated. The police officer asked him to step out of the car. But you can imagine why he was unable to step out of the car.
Did he have his...
Did he have parts exposed?
He had a more than 4 hour erection going on, I'll tell you that.
Oh.
He was one of those guys. He had taken something called, where is it? Called Superman Viagra. Superman Viagra apparently is some sort of a mixture of Cialis and Viagra mixed together, and apparently it is a very powerful combo that maybe works a little bit too well.
I sort of have a boner.
Isn't good enough.
Yeah, how do you need more than that?
Exactly. He also had a bag of ice pressed against his crotch, which makes me wonder how he had a bag of ice in a car if he'd been sitting there for some time in the hot, hot sun. But anyway, and on top of that, he also had a 2-inch metal ring on his penis. A C-ring. I think you know where
we're
going with this.
Everything is wrong with
Everything is wrong
so
with
this.
So
that was stuck.
Yes, so that was way stuck, and he had been trying to get it off of him for 3 days.
He had been trying
to remove this, yes.
No.
So, as somebody at the police department said, you don't put one of those on and then swallow the Superman Viagra performance enhancer and then expect to have that work out. He had been in serious pain for 3 days straight after according to this article, sexy time with his partner. He tried and tried, could not get the ring to budge. As a last resort, he drove to his friend's house in Laguna Beach to get help. And then, of course, the policeman called in the fire department, and the fireman told him that if the ring wasn't removed immediately, that he was in serious jeopardy of losing his penis, which totally makes sense, right?
Yes.
Right. They explained to him that the procedure was to drain his penis, which is Kevin's worst nightmare, is a needle plus junk equals Kevin passes out.
Equals needle.
Which is the same thing with this guy. Once he realized it involved a needle, the article says, he suddenly found new inspiration to remove the ring on his own. Okay, so for 3 days, he's tugging and pulling and pushing and doing everything he can to remove this metal ring from his junk. And then all of a sudden, when the fire department shows up and says, hey, we got a needle for you, son, all of a sudden he figures out a way to do it.
You know, he had to have tried everything.
You would think so, yes. They handed him KY on the scene, and he was able to get the ring slipped off and was able to then be taken to the hospital.
Can you imagine how the cops and the EMTs and everybody must have been laughing?
They'll never forget it.
Right.
It was the highlight of not just everyone's career, everyone's life.
Get him the KY.
So he never went to the hospital because he didn't want them draining it, and he knew
it sounds like in this article
he was too embarrassed.
It sounds like he was too embarrassed, thought he could handle it on his own, which happens all the time with these stories, as we've often heard.
Okay.
You want
24
to.
Hours.
Yeah, I know.
36
I know.
Hours.
I hear you.
48 hours.
I know. And by the way, Kevin, how would you like to have, it looks like he never made it into the guy's house, but how would you like to have been the friend to have this dude show up with the ring on and ask for you for help?
I swear to God I would be on the ground.
I know you would.
I mean, really, because no matter how much it hurt, no matter how much trouble he was in, it's just too much for me to handle.
I don't think you'd be able to assist him at all without just laughing at his face. I don't think you could be serious long enough to get the ring off and then laugh at him.
I'd bring him some WD-40. I'd bring him some butter. I don't know. I'd bring him whatever he needed, but I'm not helping.
My only disappointment with this article is there's no name and photograph and address and phone number and everything else we would like for the follow-up.
But we'd like to talk to him.
If you know this young man in Laguna Beach, we would certainly like to be in touch with him ourselves.
Please do.
So we'll see you tomorrow. Another all-new Kevin Bean Show for a Friday coming up here on K-Rock. Hope you enjoyed today's program. Have a great day, everybody. Bye-bye.
I saw 3-Day Boner last night at the True, by the way.
You?
Oh, man. They
were good?
They rocked it. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show.
You're a parasite of lies, and I am your worst enemy.
All right. We have a brand-new Internet Roundup for you.
Excellent. Oh, it's a good one.
It's a good batch. Good sesh. We have Dr. Drew on the program today.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about, stuff, things. Deals.
Hey, there's a lot of Dr. Drew related type stuff in the news for us to ask him to comment.
3-Day Boner is one of them.
3-Day Boner, sure.
Harry Shearer is going to be on the program today. He's got a new comedy CD.
He does like 10 voices on The Simpsons, that dude.
He's half of The Simpsons, yeah. We have Bean's Death Corner.
Excellent.
Yeah. Loves that. Too bad this guy didn't make it, but I'm sure he would have about 48 hours. He probably wished that maybe he could join Bean's Death Corner.
Ordinarily, I agree with you. Ordinarily, I go, oh, so close. It would have been so much better if he died. But this guy, I love the fact that he's walking around out there with this in his past.
Yeah.
I love that this is something that's going to occur to him probably every day for the rest of his life.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, they're going to be sitting around trading war stories, and he's going to go, okay, go ahead. Just tell all your stories. I got mine in my back pocket. I'll wait for it. And comedian Jay Moore will be in the studio.
Jay Moore's.
So that's coming up today as well. Plus, This Week in Rage in about a half hour. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
I'm just saying I maybe seek medical attention at...
I don't think you do.
Six hours?
I don't think you do.
10 hours?
I don't think so.
You don't wait 3 days?
I do. You don't want to go to the emergency room with the...
Depends on the person. If it's Bean, who hasn't probably seen an erection in a long time, you just enjoy it. Just bask in it, right? Look at that. Look what I'm capable of having again. Look at that.
He has a party.
I would film it. I would decorate it. I would call the friends and neighbors. Throw a party.
Christmas ornaments.
Exactly. Throw some tinsel on there. Put a star on the top of the tree.
Except the part where you're passing out and losing consciousness.
Well, that's not good.
A small price to pay for a rager.
Well, maybe so. Maybe you're right.
Dean, when was the last time you were in an ER?
Last you're going to ask him when's the last time you had an erection.
I know the answer to that.
Last time I was in an emergency room was the eye. When I had the tube come out of my eye. Yeah.
Who's the guy with the tube in his eye? It's Bean Baxter.
Yeah, I have to sit down in that chair, and then you have to yell through that glass pane, what's wrong? What's wrong?
Plus, everyone can see what's wrong.
And then everyone in the room can hear you.
I would just say heart attack. That's all they need to know at that point.
They do take you right in.
They rush you, and then when I got behind the curtain, that's when I'd say, okay, look, the heart attack thing was a story. Look, take the look. Seriously, look at this.
Look at this.
Look, it's like purple black.
This is giving me a heart attack.
Yes.
Yes. It's going to be tough to shake that one off today, but we'll try. 5:52. See, I told you it's going to be tough. Time for our first look at Showbiz News now with Ralph Kramer.
You could have shaken it off. He wouldn't have had a problem.
Well, true.
Couldn't shake it off. Before I get to Showbiz News, how about some more passes to the K-Rock advanced screening of... I've seen some footage of this movie now, and I'm just officially freaked out.
All terrifying.
Right. Terrifying.
Love it.
It's called The Possession.
Yay!
Horrific, horrible, horrible story. Look, you know me. I've said this before. Kids in horror movies, creepiest things ever. You could have creatures and vampires and zombies and monsters, whatever. I can handle that. I can't handle a little kid, especially a possessed little kid.
Yeah. It's an extra level of freaky.
A little girl in this story, she's at a yard sale or a flea market, and she says to her dad, Daddy, can I buy this box? I really like this. He goes, whatever you want, sweetheart.
Nope. From now on, the answer is no.
She takes the box home. It's got some cryptic ancient Hebrew writing on it. She flips the top up. Next thing, blah, ancient spirits living inside of her. Hi, how are you? And Jeffrey Dean Morgan plays the dad. And, you know, it's even more terrifying than having a daughter who's possessed. He's got to call his ex-wife, the kid's mom, and tell her, I had brandy for the weekend. Yeah, well, now she's possessed by an ancient spirit.
She's not going to be quite the same when she comes home.
Yeah, she's got somebody living inside of her. Okay, it's your weekend now. You take her. The ex-wife shows up, gives him a ration of S because, where were you when the kid was getting possessed? Where were you? Are you off one of your floozies? And then it's just a big nightmare.
Sweet.
Kira Sedgwick stars also in the film. If you'd like to see it before anybody else, first three callers right now, 1-800-520-1067. Goes to our special advanced screening at the AMC Burbank next Tuesday, August the 28th. In theaters everywhere Friday the 31st. In case you don't win, you should still go see The Possession. Speaking of evil incarnate, speaking of unspeakable horrors, Tadoff Swindler back in the news.
How dare you?
The evil Taylor Swift. She is pure evil. She is evil personified.
She's worse than that little kid after she opened the box.
If Satan was going to walk the earth, don't you think he'd say, oh, let me look like a cute little 22-year-old girl, and I'll just traipse around the surface of the planet, just wreaking havoc everywhere I go.
How did she go, in your mind, Ralph, from America's sweetheart to a child rapist, which is what you had last week?
She is a statutory rapist. That is science.
To now she's Tadoff Swindler. What's going on now?
Well, you know, she loves the Kennedys. She's obsessed with the Kennedys. That's why she's banging a Kennedy. She's dating this 18-year-old Connor Kennedy.
Okay.
And so the Kennedy family had a wedding over the weekend. Okay? The wedding of Liam Kerr and Kyle Kennedy, daughter of the late Michael Kennedy and Victoria Gifford Kennedy. So they're having a big affair because they're the Kennedys. They're having a big wedding in Boston. And Connor Kennedy says, hey, I want to bring my new girlfriend, Taylor Swift, to the wedding. She wants to come with it. And so they asked the bride's mom, Vicky Kennedy, is that okay? And Vicky Kennedy tells the Boston Herald the following story. They texted me an hour before the wedding and asked if they could come. I responded with a very clear, please do not come. They came anyway.
Are you kidding?
Vicky Kennedy says, it's my daughter's day. If Taylor Swift walks into the wedding,
right,
yes,
all attention's going to be taken off the bride and put on the pop star.
She doesn't even need to give that much of a explanation.
Yeah, you don't bring someone at the last minute on a wedding that's planned.
She showed up anyway!
I personally went up to Ms. Swift, whose entrance distracted the entire event, politely introduced myself to her, and asked her nicely, as I could, for her to leave. It was like talking to a ghost. She looked right past me.
What?
She refused to leave the wedding!
What?
That's unbelievable.
Tadoff Swindler.
That's I gotta be honest. I no one loves Taylor more than I do. That's pretty bad for him right there.
That
bitch
is.
Bitch got no class.
Bitch got no class.
Yeah. Yeah, that's no bueno.
Swift spokesperson says, there's no truth to that. Taylor was invited to the wedding and the bride thanked her profusely for being there.
Sure.
The mother of the bride told the Boston Herald newspaper, I asked her not to come. I asked her to leave and she wouldn't.
Texted her first very clearly.
Yes.
And then asked her face-to-face.
But Taylor Swift's, Tadoff Swindler's people are saying, oh no, they loved it. They had a great time.
They were so happy she was there.
Oh, they wanted her to come back. They invited her on the honeymoon. Lies! Lies upon lies.
Lisa's right, by the way. Even though Connor Kennedy was invited to the wedding, he did not RSVP. You can't call on the wedding day an hour before and say, yeah, we're just going to swing by last minute.
You can.
You can't do that.
If you're Satan, you can. If you're evil
true.
And you want to spread your evil.
Satan doesn't care about RSVPs.
No, he doesn't. Oh, God.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I look forward to her cartoon death. I look forward to that grand piano slipping off the 10th-story building. Leaving this wedding. It's her new single. I'm never, ever, ever leaving this wedding.
Ugh. Blech. Blech. I'm with you on that.
Blech.
That too.
Little Lion in the news.
What'd she steal now?
Now I know she's guilty. Remember I told you yesterday that she was questioned by the police after a party when guests of hers that she brought to the party allegedly made off with some jewelry and some sunglasses and some expensive watches from
That's
the host,
alleged.
The host of the party?
Yes.
Well, she certainly isn't lingering around the scene of the crime. According to TMZ.com, she immediately got on a plane and left for New York after the police questioned her. She's going to fence the goods!
Wow.
Listen, people.
They're already
have
gone.
Have you never seen an episode of CSI?
They're already gone.
Follow the money. She has a bag of stolen items that she's now selling in Times Square off a card table. Psst, psst. Want a good deal on a watch? Hey, aren't you Lindsay? Shut up. Do you want to buy the watch or not? Something's up with that girl, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
And Rosie O'Donnell is getting a lot of support and a lot of emotion pouring out to her since she keeps telling us over and over again she had a major heart attack. No one would know, by the way, if she didn't publicize
this. That's true. Mm-mm.
She didn't go on her blog and she didn't call up the Hollywood Reporter and do an interview. Nobody would know anything, and she could go about her business and just heal.
This is probably to help other women recognize
that's
the signs,
that's what it is, Lisa.
Right?
Of course. I should have realized that she's just giving back.
She cares about humanity, Ralph.
She's been tweeting out the photos of get well gifts she's been receiving.
What?
Yes.
How does that help me?
And look at this.
Look at this. Someone sent me a box of grape nuts.
Really?
Apparently someone did because it's supposed to be good for your heart. Look at all the roses I've received from my friend. She took a picture of all the flowers that people sent to her house. She said she's spending her time doing some therapeutic painting. and recovering by listening to Barry Manilow, she says.
Well, Barry does make everything better.
He will. He
bitch
will,
got no class.
He will cure your heart right there. He will,
wow.
He will fix your heart.
It's an important update. Thank you, Ralph.
Let me give you some good news about a celebrity, can I? Melissa Joan Hart. Remember her?
Yes.
Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
She has a new show called Joey and Melissa, I think. It's Joey Lawrence and her have a new sitcom together. She has announced she is hosting an event called Operation Shower.
Ooh, I like the sound of that.
Stop it. It's a party for moms-to-be that have a family member who was recently deployed in the military and can't be there for the shower. So she's getting together all these military moms who are pregnant, and she's going to get all these pregnant ladies together at an event and shower them with gifts and presents and diapers and stuff that they need when the baby comes.
And that's pretty cool.
She's doing it for the families of our military who are deployed.
That is awesome.
It's a very cool event, and I salute Melissa Joan Hart for doing something nice for families of people who are doing nice things for us. So.
The only celebrity in the entire report who's doing something decent today.
That's the truth, yes. So I wanted to give you a little upside. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Shelley Long, legendary member of the Cheers cast all those years ago. She's now 63 years old. Also plays Jay's ex-wife on Modern Family. Have you seen that episode where she comes back?
I don't think I did.
Oh, really?
She's so funny.
So funny. She's done several episodes where she's Ed O'Neill's ex-wife, and she comes back and just flips out because he's married to Sofia Vergara, naturally, and she's just
who
a head
wouldn't?
Case. It's very entertaining on that show. Also 63 is singer and actor Rick Springfield. Oh, we got to get ourselves a little Jesse's Girl, I think, for today.
Do we?
Just to celebrate a little bit. Dean DeLeo of Stone Temple Pilots fame is 51. Scott Kahn. He's from Hawaii 5-0. Actor James Kahn's son, of course, 36 years old. Julian Casablancas of The Strokes is 34. Kobe Bryant, you may know him. He plays for a team called the Los Angeles Lakers.
He does.
34 years old today. It's funny people talking about old man Kobe Bryant, how his career is almost over at 34. Yeah. It's all done for him. And an actor, comedian, podcaster named Jay Moore. Jay Moore celebrates his 42nd birthday.
Today?
Not familiar with
today
him.
Today is his birthday.
Oh, Jay Moore. Somebody out for cupcakes or something?
I think we should. We should send out for cupcakes.
Yeah. Whether he wants them or not, we want them.
We can eat the cupcakes. Screw him. He's already getting all the birthday love. How about something for us? How about some cake?
He should bring us a cake.
Word. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Birthday boy Jay Moore joins us next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock, and an all-new Bean's Death Corner is straight ahead. Lisa May,
yes.
What about our friend Prince Harry, who's living it up in the United States? What about him?
He's having an excellent time, although I think he may not be allowed to go home now.
Oh, I love it so much. I love it so much. I love it so much. I love it so much.
Well, the last I heard is he was on a British Airways flight back home, probably to face the wrath of his grandmother, Queen Elizabeth II.
In handcuffs? Was he in handcuffs on the way home?
It didn't say that, but we may never hear from Prince Harry again. Look, he's 27 years old. He's one of the richest people on the planet. He's young, good-looking, mm-hmm. He's single, and he's enjoying himself. He ends up in a hotel room. By the way, who the hell plays strip billiards?
Is that a thing?
Somebody you go to Vegas all the time?
Never.
Is strip billiards a thing?
Well, strip anything is really, but you're in Vegas, and not to be too cliched, but come on, people, put your cell phones away.
Right, yeah, absolutely.
What's happening with that?
So he's in a hotel room or in a suite, I guess, and they're playing strip billiards, and there are all these photos of him like running around naked with all sorts of naked chicks. Like you wouldn't if you're 27 years old, you have the opportunity to do that for the weekend. That's what you do, right?
What percentage of guys who are single that have that opportunity wouldn't?
Zero.
Zero.
Yeah, it's got to be pretty damn low. Now, I'm sure there was a fleeting moment of, hey, this isn't going to look good on the front page of every newspaper in the world because I am a high-profile guy. But that's why you have your chicks drop their cell phones in a basket at the front door, right?
Yeah.
And the guys, apparently. Yeah. I don't know who sent this out, but...
Yeah. Well, we don't know what the reaction is at home, but we fortunately have a connection at the palace, and I believe we have our old friend Prince Charles on the phone. We have Harry's dad, his alleged dad, on the phone with us right now here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Your Highness, thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We're very good. How are things there?
Well, as you can imagine, things are a bit tense around Buckingham Palace these days.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
We've got ourselves a bit of a family embarrassment.
Right. Again.
And as my mother is quick to ask in situations like this, what the F is wrong with you people?
Yeah. Well, I'm sure she hasn't thought of being naked in 75 years.
If it all seemed to you, I'd rather not. Imagine my wife, my mother naked.
Well, that's true.
Yeah,
that's
or your
that's
wife.
True. Or my dead wife, especially.
Yeah. Well, your live wife, especially, by the way.
Any woman in my life. Right.
Yeah, right.
No interest in seeing any of them naked.
What's going to happen to as he's been dubbed the Playboy Prince? I mean, what can you really do to him? He didn't break any laws. He's just blowing off steam, having a good time.
Know,
what's the harm?
I'm deeply disappointed in Harry's behavior.
Why?
Because, frankly, family of our station, we have certain responsibilities, not only to everyone here at home in the UK, but also around the world. We have certain moral standards, I believe, it's put upon us to try to maintain. And I have no idea where he could have learned this sort of behavior from. And,
what?
You're quite good, my dear. You're quite good. Look at you.
What's happening
All right,
here?
I'll just have to take these off then. There we
Prince
go.
Prince Charles, are you playing strip billiards right
How
now?
How dare you, sir? No, of course not. I'm having a conversation with you, and that's...
You just said you're quite good. Were you talking to us?
Yes, I heard giggling.
Yes. You're quite good at what you do, gentlemen.
I see. We've never been told that.
Of all the American broadcasters I am speaking with currently, you are the best.
I see.
Right, but we heard you say, oh, I guess I'll have to take off some clothes now. I
said nothing of the kind. And frankly, I'm offended at your inference.
Well, maybe we misunderstood.
Yes, I think you did.
Apologize for that.
Yes, I thank that one. Now, what are you going to do? That's right, my dear, yes.
Who is that giggling?
Who's that camera dancer? What?
What?
I heard giggling. Is that Camilla in the background?
God, I hope not.
Sure. It doesn't sound like it is, yes. Whatever you need. One of the corgis.
Really?
Oh, they're giggly little things.
Are they?
Yes. Stop it. I'm on the phone with two idiots from America.
All right,
they're starting to suspect things.
Not Camilla.
So you have no idea where Harry got this
idea
from.
I am offended deeply at his behavior, and I want everyone to know that it's not the way of the Windsors to go about gallivanting nakedly. Yes, panties count, my dear. I'm sorry, what were you saying?
Who's ready for some sweet, sweet death, ladies and gentlemen?
Hey, everybody, gather all the kiddies around the radio. It's time for Bean's Death Corner.
Bean loves death any time of day. He gets all giddy and screams hooray.
There's something wrong in his head. Death.
We don't know what's wrong with Bean, but now you'll get to see what we mean.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
I love death.
A lot of people get us confused from time to time. I'd like to just point out that this is Kevin, and I am not a death lover. As
really?
My friend Bean is.
Really? Even with Bean's Death Corner as the runaway hit feature that it's become, you're still not a fan? You don't enjoy it?
What are you basing runaway hit feature?
The fact that it's still on the schedule. Oh. We still do it, so I figure somebody must like it. No, we got a good sesh today. I think you guys are going to enjoy this. We're going to start and end with our furry friends. We got two dog-related death stories to get us...
What you need to know is the dogs did not die because Bean...
Certainly
would,
not.
Bean would not do the story if they did.
That's true.
Right, because if the dog dies, now you get yourself a sad story.
Right.
If it's just people dying involved with dogs, yeah, that I can handle.
All right.
Here's a Massachusetts couple, Kevin, married for 40 years. 64-year-old Donald Sear and his beloved bride Patricia, 61, are out on a lake in Westfield, Massachusetts over the weekend when their poor little dog, Sadie, jumps in. Jumps in the water. What do you do if your dog jumps in the water? Well, you got to try to save your little pup, right?
Most of the time, dogs can swim.
You would think so, yes. But who knows? Maybe they're too far out from the shore. I don't know what the circumstances were. But Donald, 64, he jumps in. Somehow he gets into trouble. Then Patricia, his wife, says, oh, no, what's going on with my husband? I better jump in. Somehow, I guess, in the moment, forgetting that she didn't know how to swim.
Oh, no.
They both drowned. Of course, other boaters alerted by screams. Screams helped pull the couple from the water, but it was too late. Rescue personnel failed to revive them. They are both dead. Yes, the dog did survive, was taken to a municipal animal shelter, so he's fine. They've been married 40 years. They died together trying to save a dog they had for 6 weeks, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh.
And a dog, it turns out, didn't need saving.
Dog was fine. Dog was totally fine.
Wow.
So that is
weird.
That is that's really not how you want to go. That's not good. Here's a great story from Russia. A Russian woman kills elderly neighbor with her bra.
Wow.
What?
Look, we've been doing Death Corner a long time. We read a lot of stories. I don't think I've ever heard of somebody being strangled to death with a woman's bra, but that's exactly what happened. She went next door to try to get money to buy beer. She's 26. Her next door neighbor is 65 years old. She went to his apartment and said, hey, I really want to go get some beer. How about some number? The money. The neighbor said no. They got into a fight. She punched him in the face. He tried to fight back. She somehow managed to hold on to him while taking off her bra and then strangling with him with it, they say. He's now in custody, waiting the end of the probe, according to investigators.
What the hell?
A 26-year-old takes her bra off, though. A 65-year-old is going, hey, this day is turning pretty good.
This is
going
to be
better than I expected.
Unbelievable.
But I don't think you see that one coming. Nope. Here's a sad story that's local. This one's in Santa Ana. Maybe you saw it on the news. An 83-year-old man has pleaded guilty just this past Friday to murdering his 94-year-old roommate.
Holy cow.
83. 94. They were roommates at a short-term care facility. They were sharing a room as they each recovered from hip surgery at the Palm Terrace Healthcare Center in Laguna Woods.
I can just about walk. I can't hardly walk. I can't see too far, and I can't hear too good.
You would not expect an 83-year-old and a 94-year-old each recovering from hip surgery to get involved in any kind of physical altercation,
right?
No, you
yell is the most you could ever do.
Yeah, for one thing, they can't walk.
Right. Well, the 83-year-old allegedly grabbed the metal rod from the closet, hit the 92-year-old over the head. Why? Because he was singing. Oh, wait, there's more. He was singing in Vietnamese, and that was just more than the man could
say. Wow.
I don't know if you guys, look, no offense to any of our Vietnamese or Vietnamese-American listeners. It is not a beautiful language. I believe the K-Rock microphones were there. We have a clip from the old folks' home.
This is Vietnamese, is it?
I believe so.
Hard to tell. I would strangle this guy as well.
I mean, seriously. How long?
Rough.
How long can you put up with that from your roommate, right? Okay, that's...
Seriously.
That's totally fine. That's great. Okay,
that's not a positive,
that's
I don't think.
That's all we need. Hey, here's a rare book review on Bean's Death Corner here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I'd like to get this lady on. Julia Ziegler-Haynes has written a book all about the last meals that death row inmates have selected over the years, which I think is fascinating. For instance, Robert Anthony Buell, 62 years old, executed by lethal injection in September of 2002. He chose for his last meal a single black unpitted olive with no explanation.
Weird.
They came to him and they said, what do you want for your last meal? And he says, I'll just take an olive. Now, who's watching their weight in the last minute of their lives, right?
Very odd.
Bizarre,
right? Must be something he likes. It can't be a weight thing.
Peter Maneal, 42, executed in October of 2004. Here's what he chose for his last meal. He was on death row for 16 years. He had 20, listen up, beer mug, this is your future, 20 beef tacos, 20 beef enchiladas, 2 double cheeseburgers, a pizza with jalapenos, fried chicken, spaghetti with salt, a small fruitcake, half a chocolate cake, half a vanilla cake, cookies and cream ice cream,
wow,
caramel pecan fudge ice cream, 2 Cokes, 2 Pepsis, 2 root beers, and 2 oranges.
That's my everyday meal.
He ate until he wanted
That's
to die.
That's awesome.
Yes.
That's
yeah,
what
you're
he
right.
did.
He absolutely probably did. He wanted to die. And I don't want to get into, you know, too many details here, but don't things happen with what's in your stomach after you
die? I think that was his plan,
yeah.
Was sabotage.
he just wanted to make it as ugly as possible for the people who had to clean up the room, I guess. And we started with a sad dog story. We'll end with this one, too. Here's a Georgia college student. This one actually makes me sad. Just 23 years old, Rebecca Carey, who spent her entire life working with rescue dogs. When she was in third grade, she fell in love with dogs and spent as much time as she could helping them, finding them homes, taking in rescue dogs. Well, I think you can already telegraph how this story ended.
Yeah.
She had five dogs living with her at the time of her death. They included a pit bull, which she'd owned for 6 years, a boxer mix, and two dogs called a presa, which is a large Spanish breed, I guess. Somehow, we may never know how, they ended up killing and eating her.
Oh,
they
wow.
turned on her when she didn't show up for work at the Alpharetta's Loving Hands Animal Clinic. They sent somebody to her home and found her with bite marks all over her body and pieces missing. She got killed by the dogs that she had rescued and brought into her own home.
That's so sad.
What? That's
those dogs no. must have hated her.
I don't. I mean, they. She saved their life, brought them into her home, and that's how they repay them. What bitches?
That's what they are.
This has been an all new Beans Death Corner.
That was Beans Death Corner.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
Oh, Bean loves death so much.
Funny man Jay Moore, one of our all-time favorite Kevin and Bean guests, joins us right after the top of the hour here on K Rock, and it's his birthday, by the way. Pretty cool of him to spend part of it with us. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Thursday. What's going on?
I bet it's not like his first choice.
I'm sure. Well, Mark and Brian are off now. What's he going to do?
I think he's trying to sell tickets to something. He's got Nikki Cox at home. I don't think he's like, oh, I can't wait to go get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and hang out with Kevin and Bean on my birthday. That'll be the present to me. That's my present to me.
That's all I want.
That's
honey.
All I want. Can I just get a little Kevin and Bean love? That's all he cares about. I'm guessing that's not how he woke up this morning. I could be wrong. We'll find out. Blake Lively has announced she will never be naked in a movie.
Come on. Don't jump to conclusions.
A lot of actresses say they will disrobe for the artistic merit of a film, but Blake says it's going to keep her goodies covered.
No reason that you need to make that kind of long-term decision now.
She says she finds nudity in films distracting and just doesn't think getting naked will ever be right for me, she says.
She's wrong.
Well, I think we just take her SAG card right now and just,
absolutely.
Just make some room for an actress who cares about the projects.
Why doesn't Hollywood just decide right now not to hire Blake Lively for anything until she has a change of heart?
I'm sure there's a lot of actresses out there who do not share Ms. Lively's opinion about nudity in film and would be happy to get naked in anything for
damn
any
you,
reason.
Vile woman!
She might just say that because there's something she doesn't want people to see.
Her penis?
Something, yeah. Third something boob, she doesn't like about herself.
Oh, what could you not like?
Look, there's I don't know.
I've seen her cell phone photos.
Yeah, that's
she's
right.
She's got nothing to hide.
Nothing to hide.
She should be taking it out all the time and putting it on display.
That's creepy.
And thank she was, girl. Wasn't she in, was it the Departed or the Town?
It'd be painful for you. You'll have to imagine the fire.
She was in the Town, yes, Pete.
Yes, and she was very sexy in that, yeah. And showing a little bit of skin looked great.
Boy.
Creepy.
Boy, I find her attractive.
Yeah.
Yep. Angelina Jolie's daughter, Vivienne Jolie-Pitt. Ha-ha, Vivienne Jolie-Pitt. She's going to be a movie star.
How old is she?
The four-year-old is going to be a movie star. Not really a movie star. That? She's picked up a bit part in Mom's upcoming film, Maleficent, which, of course, is the name of the Wicked Witch in the Sleeping Beauty story.
I'll let her act in it if she can say it.
She plays a four-year-old version.
I hope it's version.
of the young Princess Aurora, who is played later on in the film by Elle Fanning. So, actually, when you look at her, it's good casting. She's an adorable little blonde kid, and she looks a lot like a young Elle Fanning, so I can see why they did it. But I'm sure Angelina just wanted to get her into the family business. Look, I have no problem with actors taking their kids and putting them in little bit parts in movies. Yeah. If they want to have them on the set, that's fine. It's when you start putting them in leads in movies, Will Smith, that I have problems with. So I'm sure they had a good time on the set, and she's Angelina Jolie.
Sure.
Have you seen her in the costume for the Wicked Witch? Boy, she looks great.
Yeah.
She looks like the cartoon. If you remember the Sleeping Beauty cartoon, the witch that turns into that dragon in the animated Disney version, she looks just like that and looks awesome. You guys know where the band's Death Cab for Cutie's name comes from? Death Cab for Cutie. You know where that name comes from?
I used to know this one. I don't remember now. I used to know it.
A little piece of musical trivia. It's based on a short song that's featured in the Beatles movie, The Magical Mystery Tour. Apparently, in one of the scenes, the Bonzo Dog Band performs a song called Death Cab for Cutie, and that's where they got their name from.
Okay.
I never knew that. Just a little piece of trivia.
All right.
Interesting.
The only reason I bring that up is because they're talking about this movie, Magical Mystery Tour. This was a Beatles movie that was shown on television in the UK. It was deemed so bad that ABC had the rights to it and said, nah, we're going to pass. We're not going to show this Beatles film. Biggest band in the world. We're going to, I think we'll show reruns of Password instead. They opted not to show it. So it's been sort of a curiosity for Beatles fans for many years, and it's been languishing in some vault someplace.
That's funny.
They've just announced they're going to put it on DVD and Blu-ray. So you can pick it up. So the Beatles releasing more
good
material
good.
For people to
need
take a
that.
Chance to see.
Need that badly.
But the reason I brought it up.
Don't Let It Be, though.
I was reading about it. Yes, Don't Know Let It Be, right. I was reading about it, and it said that's where Death Cab for Cutie got their name. And I was like, huh, I never knew that.
Interesting.
Now we know. LL Cool J, I mentioned yesterday that he nabbed a guy who was trying to rob his house. I mentioned that LL Cool J caught the guy, and when cops showed up, he had him restrained. What I didn't know was the following details. Now we're starting to come out a little bit. LL broke the guy's nose and jaw.
All right.
Apparently. Nothing was stolen. No one in LL's family was hurt. The only person who suffered, apparently, was the alleged burglar, which just makes me smile on so many levels.
Bad choice,
Wouldn't it
dude.
Be nice if every story worked out that yes. way when it came to crime? The yes. criminals would get their comeuppance. So, well done, LL Cool J. Still, I think it's a risky decision, but...
That's your house.
Yeah, should have killed him. Bieber is evil. He's no Tadop Switler. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But he's evil.
He's an evil minion of her.
He is. I mean, they probably hang out and hatch evil plans together.
Yeah.
Sad news. Bieber's getting even bigger. He has just been animated for an upcoming episode of The Simpsons.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's just going to convince him more that he's God.
He just tweeted... Just did a voice for The Simpsons. Hashtag swaggy.
Oh, with him with his swaggy.
He is second only to Bean when it comes to bad tweets, by the way. The episode's called The Fabulous Faker Boy, and Bart enters a talent contest. But Justin Bieber isn't allowed to audition for the same talent contest. So that's their joke, I guess. So. And while we're talking about Tadop Switler, she crashed a wedding in Boston this weekend. With her boyfriend, Connor Kennedy. It was a Kennedy family wedding. And the mother of the bride, first of all, asked her not to attend. Tadoff ignored her and showed up anyway. And then when she got there and took all the attention away from the bride, the mother of the bride asked her to leave. Tadoff Switler refused to leave.
That's crazy. Who does that?
Much to the chagrin of the family and pretty much ruined this woman's wedding.
Wouldn't it hurt your feelings a great amount if you texted mom and said we'd like to come to the wedding and yes. she said no?
Please don't. She didn't say, she wasn't angry, she said please don't because okay. she was concerned that Taylor Swift's appearance at her daughter's wedding would detract attention away from the bride. It is the bride's day and everybody would be paying attention
I'd be bummed,
to the pop star.
But I would never, ever, ever think of going.
You wouldn't just crash it anyway?
No. That's
and then when the mother came up to you once you arrived and said, please, seriously, I'd like you to leave, would you ignore her wishes and just hang out anyway?
That's unbelievable. That really is unbelievable.
Then would you strip naked and smear the wedding cake all over your naked body and run around the room saying, look at me, I'm never, ever, ever leaving this wedding again?
That I would do.
You embellished that last part. Yeah,
I'm just giving you a...
She has the body of an 11-year-old boy, so I'm sure that didn't do anything.
Yeah, those bikini pictures. I was like... Wow.
The most flattering look of hers.
What the?
Oof.
She's,
yeah.
She's in Martha's Vineyard, I guess. And also in 1954, I guess.
And also 11.
Yes.
And a boy.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Kobe Bryant. He's from your Los Angeles Lakers. He's 34 years old today. Singer Julian Casablancas of The Strokes celebrates his 34th birthday. Scott Kahn from Hawaii 5-0. Also Entourage, 36 years old today. Jay Moore, as we mentioned, our buddy Jay Moore, who's going to be here shortly, 42 years old today. Happy birthday, Jay. Dean DeLeo of Stone Temple Pilots is 51. Shelley Long from Cheers fame is 63. And Rick Springfield! You know I wish that I had Jesse's girl. I
wish that I had Jesse's girl. We're also doing some mean air guitar.
You have no idea. Where can I find a
woman like that? You do have an idea. You've seen a guy air guitar.
You have no idea how many times I air guitared into the mirror to that song.
And let me tell you something about that
song. I'll tell you, Love Is All Right Tonight. You see me do that, I can lip sync it, air guitar it, at the entire thing, including the solo.
I would like to suggest that we video that and put it up.
Love Is All Right Tonight. I think we should. That's a great song.
And by the way, that Jesse's Girl, that's a song from the 80s that hasn't lost a step, man. It hasn't aged. It sounds as great today as the day it came out.
It really is a great song. I dig it the most. I dig it like a garden, in the words of Psycho Mike Cowboy. Yeah. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9 minutes after 7 o'clock. Jay Moore has joined us in the studio.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate everybody coming out tonight. It's a city veteran. I want everybody driving in your cars. I appreciate all everything that you do. All right. Thanks
Jay
for having
Moore.
Me, guys.
Hey, Jay Moore is at the Brea Improv. They've just added a second show on Sunday. So now here's what you got. You got two shows Saturday, two shows Sunday.
Yeah.
Tickets available through BreaImprov.com. Just $30. Now, I imagine that you added that second show because the first one is virtually sold out almost, right, I would think?
I'm in anticipation of – I had to cancel Friday because I'm shooting a TV Land pilot. So there's no Friday shows in Brea. So
okay, Saturday and Sunday.
So I'm anticipating with the flow, the carryover of people being told there's no Fridays. Yes, hopefully they'll both sell out, Beaner. Sorry about that. Two shows Saturday, two shows Sunday at the Brea Improv.
So if you're doing
I'm
a
very
TV
out
land-
of sorts, I apologize.
Why? What's going on?
Why are
because
you out
of the
sorts?
Special day?
No, I woke up with my son and I'm watching Sesame Street with him this morning, at 4 a.m., and they changed the theme song.
To Sesame Street?
Yeah, they made it like a hip-hop version, like, come and play. And I'm like, does everything have to be urban? Like, every sitcom has to have, like, one black friend. Like, yeah, you see that all the time. You go to Kevin's house, it's just a matter of time before the black guy across the hall comes and says, hey, I'm out of milk, Kevin. You mind? Kevin, you crazy. Like, why can't it? Why does everything? Like, they've just. Why does everything have to get urbaned?
It's a hip hop world, my friend.
Yeah.
Why do you have a whites only policy? Is a better question.
I don't have a whites only policy. I have a. This is a seminal moment in my childhood, in my oldest boy's childhood, and all of a sudden I got a 1 year old watching. Chicka chicka chicka. Big bird, you're a big bird, and you don't stop tick tock in the nest with the clock.
That's way better than the original.
It's not. It's horrible because the original we all. Know it. It's like this visceral response. I remember when Jackie was like 2 years old, the first time he saw Big Bird, the song came on. He didn't know it from Adam. He just started smiling. And I cried. I'm looking at him. Now I got this 1 year old. I'm like, check this out because I TiVo it, right? And it's like, like they got to turn. Suddenly Sesame Street is like become The Wire. You know what I mean? Big Bird is Stringer Bell.
Big Bird is Big Bird?
Big Bird is Stringer Bell. Elmo is Avon Barksdale.
Oh.
Kermit the Frog is McCuddy. Like, hi, oh, Kermit the Frog here. And here I am outside the crack house near Oscar the Grouch. Yeah. There's an impression that I don't do nearly enough. It is Kermit the Frog. Yeah. I used to love him. Kermit the Frog would be like the reporter, and he had his trench coat on. He'd go, hi-ho, Kermit the Frog here for Sesame Street News, and here I am at the house of the three little pigs. Yeah. And he had that old microphone. I'm tired
so,
of it.
I think, though, for whatever reason, your kid will be wired in more with the hip-hop. I mean, he's born in the 21st century, though.
You know
that's
why he's going to be wired into hip-hop?
What he's into.
Because in the car, I play him hip-hop.
Well, there you go. There's that too, then. Then he's fine. Then he'll love the new Sesame Street theme, is what I'm saying. It's not about you anymore, Jay. It's about the next generation, man.
And you think the next generation needs everything just urbaned up a bit?
Well,
yes,
certainly,
I do.
Certainly Sesame Street.
Could you see
I'm
that on TV
that.
All the time? Like
that's
every
true.
TV. Every TV show, there's like five white guys and their black buddy at the bar. Yeah, yeah. You know where that black guy goes? The black bar.
There's
with
no
this black
bar.
It's called the Pure Pleasure Silk Platinum Lounge.
You know,
it's in Englewood.
It sounds like you're joking, but remember the controversy when Girls hit the air on HBO last year and people complained. They said to Lena Dunham, hey, how come you don't have any black people on your show? And she said, because I don't know any and I don't know anything about them. So maybe she was being the
but
kind of person.
That's not okay in this PC world.
Well, no, because now she's going to add some people, isn't she, this year?
She caved in.
Yes.
When my
neighbor without the milk.
My opening shot, Lena Dunham is her name. She should have said, look, the opening shot of the show was me and my chubby body getting hate effed by a tall guy asking me to make believe I was having sex with a toddler. And you're complaining there aren't black people on the show watching me flap my gut around? You can watch everything on me is jiggling. I can put my hands in my pocket naked. And you're complaining that there's not a black guy interrupting my sex with my Balfour lookalike boyfriend.
There's no black guy that wants to be on that show.
You know why black guys always have sex with fat white women?
No, why?
Because they can't get the skinny ones, Kevin.
I'm being told, by the way, that Donald Glover is going to be joining the cast, at least somewhat of Girls next season.
I wish it was Danny Glover, and they didn't even do... I was completely kidding about the black guy joke, by the way. You know, you guys know I'm down with the brown.
Of course.
Sure.
And I don't think black is whack. I'm down with the brown. Just the fact that you got to say that is so humiliating.
You do.
Oh, my God. But you know who's keeping it real on Sesame Street?
Who?
You know who's keeping it white so right that he's keeping it white?
Don't know who that is.
Elmo. You want to know why?
Why?
I saw Elmo on the Barefoot Contessa. That's as white as you could possibly...
That's a cooking show?
What is that?
Oh,
Jeffrey.
Oh, ye of little faith.
What's Barefoot Contessa?
Ina Garten from the Food Network.
She does that all the time.
She lives way out in Montauk, right? And she's like a billionaire, Food Network star. Her husband, Jeffrey... Don't tell Jeffrey.
Yes.
Look at that. You make a chicken and a man shows up. Don't have too much fun without me. She only has three friends. They're all very gay.
Right.
And every once in a while, like Alec Baldwin will stop by... I don't know if any other celebrity, her friend Dwyer looks like an extra from SpongeBob. It's a very odd looking crew. Like, there's never a brother in her world whatsoever because it's the tip of Montauk. It's a very white town.
Right.
And you never see like her going like, you know, I was thinking in post-production, maybe I could have a black neighbor. You guys could work him in. Don't have too much fun without me. Maybe a black neighbor comes by, asks for my secret recipe for lemonade. How bad could that be? No, Elmo rolls in. Elmo rolls in with an apron. Elmo loves you. And he's doing all that. And I'm like, you know what? This is keeping it real. This is as white as it gets. Guess who does the voice for Elmo? A black guy!
Really?
I can't get away from him, Norton!
And your bubble is burst.
They're all over the place, Norton! I think I just lost my pilot.
Jay Moore is here. Unfortunately, we take a brief break. You should see him on stage at the Brea Improv. No Friday show, but two shows Saturday, two shows Sunday, BreaImprov.com. Jay is learning, by the way. He used to always interrupt when I was trying to do the plug. I could never get the information out.
That's true.
Now you know we can sell you some tickets if you let us say this stuff, right?
Kermit the Frog has taught me the best way to sell is to be quiet and let you get out the plug.
$30.
I have a green erection.
Sorry.
Stop saying how much it costs.
More with Jay right after this on the Kevin Beach Junkie. I don't want to go out on a limb here and suggest that Jay Moore may be funnier at 42 than he ever was at 41. But happy birthday, Jay Moore.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God.
We brought you cupcakes.
Oh my God.
With a candle.
42 and Fat, my new show on the Learning Channel, right after the Tiniest Chocolate Tears, which is after Blorters, Black Hoarders.
We were discussing earlier how sad you are to be spending even an hour of your birthday on the Kevin and Bean Show instead of at home with your beautiful wife.
No, I spent the morning with the wife and the baby. I got this nice little timepiece. Check this out, Lisa May. Flips it over. There's a message on the other side.
That's so cool.
There's only 50 of these in the United States. This little timepiece, I call it. That's when you're a fancy man. You're not a bad-looking man, Mr. Gasson. All right, I'm going to make a wish. Ready?
All right.
You ready?
There's one candle.
Okay. One candle?
Yep.
Because, hey, you know
don't
what? If we had to put a candle on for every year you were old, you know, the building might burn down or something. Hey, suck it, hula! I don't know how dice got in there. All right.
What's happening?
I don't know. We never know.
Thank you very much. Thank you, guys.
So here was the conversation. Here was the conversation about an hour ago. Should we go get a cake or some cupcakes? Yeah, what kind of thing he likes. Doesn't matter. It's really for us. So just get us some chocolate ones.
I agree.
Just an excuse. Now, Jay.
Yes, sir. That really was touching.
You're a rich and powerful and successful man who's lived all of your showbiz dreams. And by the way, Jay Moore will live more of those dreams this weekend on stage at the Brea Improv. Two shows Saturday, two shows Sunday. Tickets available through BreaImprov.com. You'll never have a better time at a comedy club. Please go see Jay Moore. But here's my point. You're in the booth for a Major League Baseball game the other night, basically doing color commentary for the freaking Los Angeles Dodgers. How's that feel?
It was pretty amazing. I got to meet Vin Scully, and Vin Scully talks like that all the time.
And he's that kind. And that is his lid. I checked out his lettuce real tight up close. And it's just,
it's real.
It's a lot of spray and it goes which way. It's like kind of like the tide. Sometimes it blows this way and that. But that is his lid. That's tight.
That's good hair for a guy in his 80s, though, right?
He goes, "Where do you live, Jay?" This is off mic, obviously, before the game. I go, "I live in the Pacific Palisades." He goes, "Well, my wife and I used to live in the Palisades, and now we've moved to wherever," he said. "But now that the grandchildren are all grown, maybe we'll move back to the Pacific Palisades, and then, Jay, my friend, you and I would be neighbors."
How come everything he says is awesome?
Because he's that.
Why?
I don't know why Fox.
I hate baseball, and he's amazing. I'll listen to him call a game.
How doesn't Fox move Joe Buck and Tim McCarver aside and let Vin Scully call the World Series? He's going to be alive 6 more years. Like, yeah. Let the guy go, "High fly ball, ABC, see you later, it's time for..." He said this, the game I was at, he said, "Andre Ethier with a strained oblique is listed as day-to-day." Long pause, right?
Right.
"I guess we're all day to day." I was like, "This guy's the best." And I just did impressions, like, you know, I just did Norm. Yeah, that guy, one guy throws the ball, the best of my understanding, you know. And the other guy's got that bat. He holds a bat. Not the mammal rodent bat. He holds a bat there, you know. And he swings the bat to strike the ball. And there's other guys out there with gloves. They try to catch it, you know. And you just got to run like hell and hope that, you got to hope you're safe. you don't want to be out, you know. Because when you're out, you got to go sit back down. And everybody goes, "Oh, my God, he's out. Here comes the guy. Hey, that guy that was out, he's coming back this way. Don't sit next to him. He's a jinx, you know." Oh, my God. Brea Improv. Sunday, I get the door. Do me a favor.
You have to follow Jay on Twitter at JayMoore37, and you will be there's a link that you posted. A
lot of positivity.
Yesterday or something like that, you posted a link to some video of you in the booth doing Harry Carey and doing Tracy Morgan and doing Norm McDonald. It was a great way to watch a baseball game.
It was fun.
Really fun.
Thank you. And I will say this. They paired me with a guy from MLB.com named JB who had a velvety smooth voice. And he was so cool and so calm that we just eased right into it. It was cool. When's your next concert? When's the next K-Rock concert going on? I've never been.
What?
I went to Acoustic Christmas when Deftones came out.
Right.
And they stunk.
Really?
And we were so, because they were really drunk and like fist fighting the audience. And then that stage turns around and it was Weezer. And they just went, "My name is Jonas." And we were like, "Oh my God, apparently we're here for Weezer."
Who knew?
You know, they were the Brad Williams of rock and roll that night.
We do Acoustic Christmas around the holidays. And then, of course,
when is Acoustic Christmas? Like what month?
In the summer.
It's in December.
How do you figure? All right, go ahead. Wow, you got, and really? All of you?
We have it all together.
We'll keep you posted, Jay. You're invited.
And that's up at the amphitheater?
Usually. We haven't made an announcement yet.
Any bands that you can leak? No.
Well,
you tell me off air.
It's a little early to be discussing any of that right now.
Okay.
And they're still working on that.
Because I don't go see bands anymore.
Why?
You love music.
Because they don't play
music.
They talk all the time.
We need to take a break before you get to that anger.
Look at the game tape.
If you don't mind, we're going to take a quick break. We'll
Bruce Springsteen got me pregnant. Patty Scalf with my biological father.
Come back with Jay Moore next.
The band is called The Lumineers, by the way, out of Denver, Colorado. The song is called Ho Hey, which sounds, I don't know, like your solicitation to me. It makes me nervous when I even say that. Oh, hey. Jay Moore is here
don't
in studio
Jeffrey.
On the Kevin and Bean Show. Celebrating his birthday with the Kevin and Bean Show. And this weekend, the party continues. You can see him on stage at the Brea Improv. 2 shows Saturday, 2 shows Sunday. And you should be subscribing to Jay's popular podcast network through iTunes. More stories is what you want to look for. How's that going, by the way, Jay? Is that going great?
How about the app? How's the app doing?
The app's doing really good. It's free. It's great. It's on your phone. Instead of like Angry Birds, you just press a button and you can listen to the podcast on your way home. We got Charlie Sheen coming up, Jim Florentine, Ray Boom Boom Mancini, Killed the Man in the Ring.
Yeah.
We talk about that.
Wow.
Yeah, so Brian Posehn, we got really good podcasts coming up. And if you want to leave a comment, if you're listening to this on iTunes, just write like, "This show is horrible, love Kevin and Bean," or
good.
Something. But if you rate it, it does help the rankings when you actually put
Does it really help?
Yeah, they have like this weird schematic, this linear, this algorithm that they figured out at iTunes only does it. But, you know, so if you leave a message, it helps.
Well, we don't have to do any of that stuff to make our podcast popular. But, I mean, if that works for you, I mean, you know, if that's something you want to make your fans jump through hoops to do, that's okay, too. I mean, that's a different approach. But
you know what? Don't leave a message. That's like one of my, I love one of the biggest mind defs in the movies ever is Mickey Rourke in Pope of Greenwich Village is in a fight with Daryl Hannah, and he goes, Diane, come over here right now. Come over here. Diane, come over here. Come over. He throws a bottle across the room. He goes, get over here. Come over here. Diane, come over here. Come over. You know what? Do me a favor. Don't come over here. Back when Mickey Rourke was beautiful. Do me a favor. Don't come over here.
Now Jay, he wins automatically. Jay has that photographic memory, by the way, it seems like, Kevin, for every movie he's ever seen, doesn't he? It's incredible. All right, before we had to break, you had a new complaint about why you almost never go out to see live bands anymore. You love music as much as anyone I know. What keeps you away from seeing it live?
Because they keep talking to me in the middle of the show. I don't want – and it's – look, we all know about lead singer syndrome, like where they got to be the biggest, brightest – most demands, but right. In the middle, like Springsteen, U2, oh my God, U2 has like a laser light show of like Nelson Mandela, and then they bring a lady out that was in jail in Burma,
right?
And you're in the parking lot, you just did 6 tabs of acid, you're like, wait, who said jail? Now I'm in jail. What kind of jail? Why am I in Sun Devil Stadium jail? What's happening here? And it never makes any sense, and it gets applause. All like Bruce Springsteen will be like, you know.
That doesn't work. Sorry, I was going to give you some reverb.
Yeah, I love reverb.
Yeah, that didn't work.
You know, when I was growing up, don't worry about the reverb, Kevin. You know, when I was growing up, my old man used to always say, when are you going to cut your hair? And I had long hair down around my shoulders, you know. And he'd always tell me, hey, when are you going to cut that hair?
He's not quick.
And then one day I came home and... I had a haircut.
And we're in the audience yelling, play Glory Days!
And my dad said, I like your haircut. This is Candy's room. And you're like, what?
Why would he tell that story?
Like, Eddie Vedder would be like, it's good to be back in Chicago, the United Center. You know, Michael Jordan once in a playoff game scored 55 points against the New York Knicks. This is Jeremy. You're like, what are you doing? Like, why can't you think this out beforehand? And Bono's like the worst of all time. You know, just last year, this band celebrated 25 years. Bono's always crying.
Yeah.
Just 25 years together. And with your help, we can erase the debt in Africa. Now, in a perfect world, you would go, we could erase the debt and hunger and famine in Africa. And make it a beautiful day. Like, you'd go, oh, my God, that works perfectly, right?
Ties right into the next song.
And he's like, with your help, we can eliminate hunger. Because today's Larry Mullen Jr.'s birthday. This is New Year's Day. And you're like, which avenue am I supposed to follow you down, Bono? You know, just last year I saw a man with no legs. He just got back from the war. At the VA hospital. And he said, I appreciate all you do. And I told him, thanks. I appreciate what you do. This is girls in their summer clothes.
So maybe less chit-chat from the stage.
The only thing I want to hear you say is 1, 2, 3, 4.
Do you think they're resting? You think they're just buying some time?
I think they're resting, but I also think they're trying to make it poignant. Like when Eddie Vedder goes, you know, I don't know if you guys know this or not, but Dick Cheney is the world's biggest a-hole. I'm like, really? You didn't play Jeremy yet. You were. Did I tell you the story? At the sports arena, Pearl Jam plays at the sports arena, and he goes, the reason we're not at the Forum tonight and we're here at the sports arena, if you look around, there's absolutely no advertising whatsoever. And I'm like, yeah, really? Are you really keeping it that cool? You know, I don't know if you know this, but when you go see the Rolling Stones, it says, Budweiser, you're going to drink. And if you feel like it, the Stones will be there too. And it's an affordable ticket. That's why we always go. I spent $640 to sit in the upper deck with Mexican people. You know, maybe if it said Starbucks and Miller Genuine Draft presents a Purina Dog Chow presentation of Lowe's Theater's Pearl Jam, I could sit in the front row like a big shot. And I could see itty bitty pocket sized Eddie Vedder go, first I'd like to put out an album of ukulele songs.
Oh, I'm in hurry, bye. Oh, you know, when I was growing up, I surfed a lot as a kid. This is Red Mosquito.
What?
That joke was a lot funnier on the ride over.
It was funny now, Jay.
Let's not forget hipsters.
Improv. Yes, hipsters.
Hey, hipsters, just because you bought your T-shirt at the Salvation Army doesn't mean it's not a uniform.
Nice.
Ooh, something to ponder.
That's sick of everybody. Very nice. Everybody's so cool. So tired of everybody being cool.
Well, you're definitely bucking that trend.
Yeah, at least I show up for work.
Brea Improv, two big shows Saturday night at 7 and 9.
I'll be doing those by remote.
Sunday night at 7 and 9. Jay doesn't want me to tell you how much they are, but I'm telling you, it's a bargain.
It's a $30 ticket, but there's a meet and greet after the show. We have a good time. Ryan Sickler, who I'm lobbying for you guys to put on April Foolishness, he's money in the bank.
Sounds like a great night, Jay.
It is. Well, I guess it's time to go.
Sounds like it's a fun night.
Hey, say hi to your mother for me, right? when did Bean start doing Mark Wahlberg? Hey, that sounds like a really great night, Jay. No, sounds really funny. Say hi to, well, you're a comedian. What's that like? Say hi to your mother for me, right?
PreaImprov.com. And don't forget, subscribe to more stories on iTunes. And get
Elmo's coming over. He's one of my card sharks.
Jay, happy birthday, man.
Thanks for having me.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:55. It's always the same with Jay Moore. He leaves the studio.
Yeah.
And then we start talking about other things. And then we hear some commotion in the hall and some yelling and some shouting. Uh-huh. And then he comes back in and we talk some more. And then he leaves the studio. And then we move on to whatever's next. And then he comes back in. He's the best.
He's like the wacky neighbor on a sitcom of your life.
Yes, he is.
Whatever it is, you're having a conversation, and boom, the door just bursts open. He's like Kramer. He just comes in. I got you pregnant. He's like, what the...
I think we learned from talking to JP, we have to now replace him legally with a black neighbor. We got to swap him out now.
Jay's very close to black.
He is. By the way, how ridiculous is this? We go from birthday boy Jay Moore for the last hour. What happens
Rick Springfield? Rick Springfield?
Another birthday boy? What happens next after the showbiz beat? Harry Shearer joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. The legendary Harry Shearer from Spinal Tap and from all those voices on The Simpsons. All those other Christopher Guest movies. I mean, the guy is just a comedy legend. So I'm sure that'll suck because of us. But I'm looking forward to talking to Mr. Shearer. Coming up first, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Thursday.
He's been doing The Simpsons for, 23 years now.
Yeah.
I have never done anything for 23 years. Except maybe spank it. Yeah. I've been doing that for 23 years. Other than that, I've accomplished nothing.
It's high quality, that clip.
That is. That's a Edison wax cylinder of The Simpsons. That was the original recording back 23 years ago. And they were recording on scotch tape, apparently. Come on, guys. Have a little pride. Have a little pride in your show.
Now?
Hey, speaking of audio, can you find me the Thanksgiving trailer?
Oh, yeah.
The movie Thanksgiving? Only because I am very excited to report.
Oh, please tell me.
That director Eli Roth, who has been teasing us and tempting us with the prospect of having an actual movie version of Thanksgiving, his famous fake trailer that he did for the Grindhouse feature. He's been making a lot of noises about making it real. And they go, I'm going to go off and do this movie and that movie. And I keep saying, hey, you don't do anything, Eli Roth, until you get your ass in gear and you make us Thanksgiving.
Tell me when you want it. Tell me when you want it.
I want it now.
All right.
This holiday season, prepare to have the stuffing scared out of you. Thanksgiving. White meat, dark meat, all will be carved. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving from director Eli Roth. Thanksgiving. You'll come home for the holidays.
Wow.
In a body bag.
In a body bag. That's how you'll come home for the holidays.
We've been so excited since we saw that trailer.
White meat, dark meat, all will be carved.
It's happening?
He was in Vegas this week talking about his new attraction. He's got a walkthrough attraction called Goratorium.
Okay.
Which is one of those Vegas attractions that you walk through. It's interactive. And it's all based on classic horror films and stuff like that. He was one of the creative minds behind that. Talking about the opening of that has revealed that the movie now is one step closer to becoming a reality.
Oh, that's so great.
It's going to happen. He said, I'm working with writer Jeff Rundle and my co-writer and I. We have an extensive treatment. We finally cracked the story and figured out how to make it really, really scary. So they've got a window of opportunity. They're going to write the screenplay. And we'll have a draft soon, he says. So it looks like the screenplay, at least, will be finally finished, and then they can get around to actually producing it. So.
This holiday season, prepare to have the stuffing scared out of you.
Stuffing scared out of you?
I hope they can find actors as bad for the movie as they found for the trailer, because that's an important part of it.
That's the thing, is they have to make it like super cheesy 70s version of a horror movie, or else it won't have the charm that the right. trailer had.
I agree.
Yeah.
Have a safe and sane Thanksgiving. Good night.
I think you're missing the point of tone the whole there. Thanksgiving thing. We've been talking a lot about this LL Cool J story, about him apprehending a burglar in his home, and then the word came out, this happened yesterday morning, early yesterday morning, word came out today that he, when the cops showed up, they found the burglar with a cracked jaw and nose and ribs.
Wow.
Oops.
And I was like, yeah, mama said knock you out, LA Cool J took care of business. Now more details are coming out. The intruder apparently was a 56-year-old homeless man. I don't feel quite as
not as impressive,
quite as gleeful as I did
wasn't
earlier.
Armed or anything? Story.
He wasn't armed. He was just a drug-addled transient who just kind of was looking for drug money, I guess. Kind of busted into the house, and
he could have just LA fallen on his face,
just sort of teed off on the poor bastard. So yeah,
she didn't have to share that part of the story.
I know.
With us.
Look. Sometimes you got to bring the bad news as well as the good. So I was really excited, and then I thought it would be some strapping 20-something-year-old street punk or something with a
got a
Benz outside, and he's just got a pillowcase full of platinum jewelry or something, and LL Cool J just rips open his shirt. He's got an S on it, and he just roughs him up. But apparently, the dude was just like this old dude who just kind of wandered in the house, got roughed up.
So in other words, Lisa could have taken him.
Oh, be carved.
Well,
with this holiday season, prepare to have the stuffing scared out of you.
You know that's Eli Roth doing the voiceover for that?
No, I love that.
Yeah. Lisa couldn't take the guy. Lisa,
I could take the
Lisa
guy.
Lisa got her ass kicked by a chocolate bar.
Are you kidding me?
She has a
Lisa got
belt.
Her ass kicked by a chocolate
the bar.
Bar
had
that's
a black
all I have
belt.
You know.
That's true.
I hurt my hand on a chocolate bar.
We were testing black her skills, belt. And she failed miserably.
Yeah.
Chocolate one, Lisa
those
zero.
Mini bars are rough.
Speaking of physical violence, this has nothing to do with show business, but I love this story so much. A man in Knoxville, Tennessee, now faces $1,000 in fines and 364 days in prison for an altercation he had at a local McDonald's.
Uh-oh, what happened?
Apparently, the McDonald's employee served James Wilson, the Knoxville man, a hot fudge sundae.
Okay.
Damn
with,
him.
With the chocolate on the bottom.
Oh, I hate that.
Do you hate it enough to...
I might.
Yeah.
It had the chocolate on the bottom, James Wilson said to the jurors at his trial.
At a trial?
At the trial.
Why did he have to go to trial? What did he do to the McDonald's?
He punched the McDonald's employee in the face.
Wow.
Was arrested for assault and went to trial. Now faces $1,000 in fines and 364 days in prison. During his testimony, it had the chocolate on the bottom, he said to the jury.
That's baloney. It doesn't make sense.
The hot fudge should be on top.
That's all he needs to say.
It
I give him
freezes
a pass.
Up when you get the fudge on the bottom.
Thank you.
He's right.
He's right.
Well, apparently there weren't people like you on the jury.
Acquitted. Being, let him go.
James Wilson was convicted of misdemeanor assault for punching the assistant manager who made his hot fudge sundae. His $1 hot fudge sundae.
I think he did the right thing. I'm with Mr. Wilson.
So you get Zippo, nada.
A dollar hot fudge sundae.
Yeah, that's a little...
Punch the guy now $1,000 in fines. That's 1,000 hot fudge sundaes he won't be eating.
Yeah.
In prison.
He doesn't want them because the chocolate's on the bottom.
When he becomes the chocolate on the bottom.
Yeah.
You don't want to be part of a prison hot fudge
some
sundae.
Guy in his cell. You will find your hot fudge will not freeze up.
Right.
Will not freeze up.
All right.
When it's on your bottom.
Right.
Well, that really works.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of hot fudge, these cupcakes smell great, don't they?
They
smell
do.
That chocolate? It's good stuff. Today's today's celebrity birthdays. Julian Casablancas of The Strokes is 34 years old today. Scott Kahn of Hawaii 5-0, son of actor James Kahn, is 36 years old today. I just mentioned our buddy who just left the building, Jay Moore, celebrates his birthday today. Happy birthday, Jay. Dean DeLeo of Stone Temple Pilots is 51. Shelley Long is 36. Nope, 63.
And say 36.
She's a rough-looking 36.
Wow.
She is 63, as is singer, actor, legend, Rick Springfield. He is 63 years old today as well. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Thanks for tuning in. Dr. Drew Pinsky joins us in minutes. A brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup coming up next hour as well. We are certainly not qualified to have this next man as a guest on our show, Kevin. You know, we can barely do the one thing right. He's an actor, comedian, writer, musician, author, radio host. It's a pleasure to welcome back to the show. The great Harry Shearer joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Harry. How are you, man?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good. Thank you. Great to talk to you. We got a lot of ground to cover in just a few minutes. Thanks so much for the time. I have to ask real quick on a personal note, because we haven't talked to Michael McKean since the car accident in New York. How's he doing with the recovery?
He is in intensive rehab. He's out here at a rehab facility. For people who don't know, a car drove into him while he was in a crosswalk in Manhattan and broke his leg and you know, drove him out of a show that he was about to go into in New York. So he's out here in L.A. In intensive rehab as we speak.
But he's going to be okay. He's going to still walk well.
Well,
and all that kind of stuff, right?
he was never okay.
He's going to be back to not okay.
Yeah, he's going to be back to not normal.
Now, I brought up Michael McKean. Of course, people know you two working together along with Christopher Guest, this Spinal Tap movie, and so many other things. And I wondered if you have always actually wanted to be a musician every bit as much as you've wanted to do all the other things you do. Is this something that started with you as a little boy, Harry?
Well, as a little boy, I took piano lessons, but that wasn't something I wanted to do.
You were forced to by your parents?
I was forced to. Yeah. So I did that for a while and then got out of that world and then picked up the bass a few years later. And that's when I started doing stuff that I wanted to do. And that led to Spinal Tap and then Folksman. And it just, you know, more and more music meant I was happier and happier. So I just realized, well, this is something I can do that makes me happy. So
I would enjoy
this. More of it.
Yeah, and how awesome to be able to combine your loves, which is, you know, comedy and also social satire, and your love of music all at the same time. And this new record that you have coming out, your latest is called Can't Take a Hint. It's coming out on Monday. It's a rare Monday release. And this is like, would it be incorrect to say it seems like it's the most conventional recording you've done, in that you are now getting together with actual other famous musicians to work together to collaborate, right?
Yeah. This is full of guest stars, from Dr. John to Fountains of Wayne to Jamie Cullum and Jane Lynch. A lot of guest vocalists and guest bands. Just trying to fill out the musical landscape of the record, because the songs are all over the place in terms of style, so we just wanted to get people who were masters of their particular styles. And I sing on about four of the tracks, and I play bass on four or five of the tracks, so I'm in there. But it's almost like a variety show. And, you know, here's Dr. John doing this song, and here's Fountains of Wayne doing this song.
So you bring in a professional, and you go, here's my song, now make it good.
Yeah, really.
let me ask you about a couple of songs. And again, I want people to check this out on Monday. Can't Take a Hint is the name of the album. You have a song sung from the perspective, if I have this right, of the pedophile priests, right?
Yes, yeah, yeah. It's almost like from the old days when Randy Newman used to write songs in the person of various heinous characters. There was a bunch of news stories that came out like a year or two ago about a guy who molested deaf boys here in Milwaukee, actually, and a priest who molested deaf boys in Italy, and a priest who molested deaf boys in England. It wasn't the same guy. And I thought, in modern terminology, well, this is trending.
Oh, my God.
But they understood that just because the kids were deaf didn't mean they didn't know they were being touched in the bad place, right?
Of course. But it was so heinous, and I just thought, you know, the only really way to get to this is to write and sing a song in the voice of that guy, to try to imagine the brain. And so I wrote a song called Deaf Boys, and it's the only song on the record which is a cappella, I think. And I do all the background vocals myself.
It's coming out too late to be the song of the summer, but it's definitely one people are going to want to jam to, right? I would imagine.
It could be the song of a long, dark winter.
on that tip, since we're talking about touching your junk, you do have a song called Touch My Junk. And a guy like you who flies all the time for your various engagements, I would imagine you've got a lot of TSA anger, right?
Yeah, you know, I don't have that much anger. I just do what a smart person should do, which is I say exactly what that song says, touch my junk, in the sense that I don't let them radiate me. You know, my motto is a pat down is for now, radiation is forever. So I just, you know, say, okay, go ahead. But, you know, I have to say, I hear a lot of really terrible stories about the TSA. Maybe because I'm a known person, my experience has been that even when they're doing something stupid, like they very often do, they're usually very nice about it.
They mean it well.
As I say,
right.
Yeah. But, I mean, we're wasting money, let's face it.
This is the voice of the great Harry Shearer here on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about his new record called Can't Take a Hint, available everywhere, August the 27th. And you're still doing Le Show, too. What would you do without this opportunity once a week to blast everything that's annoying you, Harry?
Well, I'd be much more annoying to those who love me. I do comedy basically about stuff that makes me mad. So it's a great way to blow off steam and to force myself to write new material every week, which, you know, lazy people in comedy, I'm being redundant there, lazy people in comedy need
right.
a reason to write, and so it's always giving me that.
And when you take a vacation, do those around you go, you need to get back to your show.
You need to do a podcast or something. Shut up already, Harry, right?
Have a vent.
I'm not a vacation type of guy.
No, all right.
Yeah, so I don't know if I can get that situation. I mean,
right.
We're planning. We're fixing on taking a vacation.
You're fixing on it? Last question for you, Harry. And again, thank you for the time. It's always great to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show. Has Mr. Groening figured out a way to clone all of you guys so that The Simpsons literally can be on the air forever? Because at some point, you guys are going to start dying.
You think? I've started taking injections, Kevin, to
Sweet.
Yeah, you know, to guard against that possibility. No, there are obviously machines now that can recreate human performance in automated form. I think most of the shows on television are using that now.
They probably have your voice saying every word in the English language. They could just.
Well, I say that sometimes because they want me to say excellent over again, and I say, you've got that, Dave.
Right. Right.
You know you have that.
Because, look, I don't care if you die. I just don't want Mr. Burns to die. That's why I want to make sure they've got a plan in place for that sad day, Harry. That's all I'm saying.
If they don't have a plan, I do.
Yeah, there you go. Follow Harry on Twitter at TheHarryShearer, harryshearer.com. By Can't Take a Hint when it comes out this Monday. Great to have you on, man. Thanks for the time.
Thanks. Always a pleasure.
K-Rock Road Trip USA 2012 is happening this week. In fact, tomorrow we'll do the grand prize drawing to send somebody to New York City to see The Offspring and Neon Trees. If you want to qualify, you can. This hour on The Kevin and Bean Show, we'll tell you when to call in to win your tickets to see them at the Palladium on October the 5th. It could be at any moment right here on the world-famous K-Rock.
Also, Dr. Brew, what?
Hello?
What
is happening right now? What is this? Where is this coming from? You have the studio? Engage? What's going on?
It is coming from me,
Roland,
from the planet Krypton. From many light years away, I have come here to be a savior to your planet.
Roland, we,
as the hero known as Superman.
You're not Superman, Roland. What are
you
talking about?
I am not Superman, but I am his spokesperson on this planet.
Since when?
Since I've taken upon myself to right the injustices that are being done to this character.
Right, well, I thought Superman was in great shape these days. They're getting ready to reboot the movie franchise.
It's horrible.
It seems like he's more popular than ever.
It's horrible. They're destroying the character.
How are they doing that?
First of all, they're doing this new movie, which, have you seen the costume in the new Superman costume?
I have not, no.
No,
he looks like a guy at a gay rave. It's all one solid color, and he's got a big cod piece, and he's got a lovely accessorized belt, and it's got a high collar. It looks like a Nehru jacket. He looks like he should be doing a Bollywood movie.
It sounds like maybe you're attracted to that cod piece.
No, it's awful. One of those classic costumes and superheroes of all time, they're just destroying him. All in the name of being, let's update him. Let's make him new and hip and cool. It's not cool to destroy Superman.
Well, Roland, look, they did the same thing with the most recent Batman movies where they made the costume much different than it was back in the old comic book and TV series. But people do adapt and people appreciated the fact that it was now modern.
You do not touch the Superman costume. You do not touch his big red S.
Okay.
And I said S.
I'm glad.
Not ass.
Can I pull on Superman's cape?
No, and you can't spit in the wind.
Final for both of you.
Thank you.
Final for both of you.
What else is bugging you? It can't just be about the costume, because Superman is still
enough.
Superman.
No, he's not. Apparently he's not anymore, because what they've done today.
What are you talking about?
The new information they've released about Superman and Wonder Woman now going to be romantically involved in the new updated comic book.
Ralph was telling us about that in the showbiz.
Now, Superman and Wonder Woman are an item. They're a couple now. They're a superpower couple.
That makes perfect sense. That sounds exciting. What are you talking about?
How about the feelings of a young lady named Lois Lane?
Had her day in the sun.
She will always be Superman's paramour and shall always be so, and that's the way it must be.
But she's got to be kind of boring compared to how awesome Wonder Woman must be. Doesn't it seem to you like Wonder Woman would be the best lay in the world, Roland?
I'm pretty sure Wonder Woman's a lesbian, first of all. She lives on an island with nothing but butch chicks who throw spears and carry shields. So I'm pretty sure it's like the Lilith Fair all the time there on Amazon Island.
But if somebody could turn her, it would be Superman.
No, Superman should be with Lois Lane. Don't you remember that wonderful scene in the movie Superman when they're flying together over the Metropolis skyline, and she sings that wonderful song of love to him?
Sure, but that was then. This is now.
Can you read my mind?
We don't need this, Roland. You don't have to sing it for us.
Do you know what it is you do to me?
All right, you're too invested in that movie. Come on.
Don't know who you are.
Roland, you're going to have to accept
the new... That's a friend from another star.
Look, you're just going to have to adjust.
Like a kid out of school.
Thank you, Roland. We really do have
holding
to go now.
Okay. With a god, I'm a fool.
All right. Bye-bye, Roland.
You look at me, quivering.
Dr. Drew
like a little girl.
We're going to talk to you.
Shivering.
Dr. Drew
you
next.
Can see right through me.
Ouch.
Can you read my mind?
Okay, we got to go. And we got a brand new internet roundup for you coming up in about 20 minutes or so right here on KROQ. Ralph's got the showbiz beat in minutes. I'm so glad Dr. Drew is on hold, co-host of Loveline 5 nights a week here on KROQ, and of course the host of his own HLN show. Hi, Dr. Drew. How are you?
Hi, Beam.
We haven't been talking about this much on our show, but I wanted to get your comments on a piece of tape that's really been making the rounds. It's been the front page of every paper, the lead of every newscast. Representative Todd Akin is running for Senate in Missouri, and he is very much against abortion, which, of course, is his right. But he got into a little bit of some scientific murky waters here when he talked about why women don't get pregnant after rape.
Yeah. It seems to me, first of all, from what I understand from doctors, that's really rare. If it's a legitimate rape, the female body has ways to try to shut that whole thing down.
Now, he has apologized for the comment and backtracked and said he misspoke, but there are a lot of people that seem to agree with him, and a lot of people seem to think that there is some scientific basis to what he's talking about in terms of how the body reacts to trauma. So, Dr. Drew, you're the man I've been wanting to talk to. Fill us in. What's going on here?
I have no idea, Bean. People are coming out on behalf of his opinion.
Oh, yes.
That is bizarre.
You mean supporting that thought?
Absolutely. That is crazy. Although the female body does have a way of shutting that down, is by punching the guy in the face, getting the guy off of her. The fact is, if there is material that she is exposed to, it can get where it needs to go and cause a pregnancy just like any other interaction like this.
So there's nothing that's going on that's hormonal that would make any difference. In other words, if sperm meets egg, it doesn't matter who the two people are. It doesn't matter if it's forcible. Doesn't matter if they're in love. Doesn't matter if they're young. Doesn't matter if it's old. If sperm meets egg and they're both viable, it will can result in a pregnancy.
That's right. And I've occasionally seen literature people trying to say, well, does it have some impact on fertility? And maybe our body does a little something, something. But the fact is, it occurs. It happened. It's likely to happen. Give me a break.
He's been told by doctors, Dr. Drew.
I know. I get that. It's so funny, being as you were saying that, what absolutely makes my blood boil is for years I had to. I can't tell you how people screw up. It's like we have no biological training in this country. How many years was I sort of vilified for saying that the morning after pill, the emergency contraceptive pill, was not an abortion pill. It works by preventing ovulation, just like the birth control you pick every day. And people were, you don't know, they were just furious about it, and they didn't understand the biology, and they didn't care to understand it, and they can't understand it, and it drives me insane. I, by the way, remind you, for years and years, Spin Magazine was publishing articles about how HIV was something AIDS was not created by HIV. It was created by AZT, and drug companies created AIDS. Remember this?
Wow, I do. I do, yeah.
Craziness people get into about biology, and this is just another example of that. On the other hand, though, there's an interesting thing happening here, which is that I think the guy's, you know, it's foolishness that what he has said, but people want to use social media now to, like, destroy his life, which is another weird thing that's happening today, which is social media has become like this sort of...
It's a witch hunt, is what it is.
Right, it's become this medium to harm people. You know, there's all this conversation and literature about how we have to be careful exposing young boys to violent video games. That ain't nothing compared to what they do to real people through social media.
I saw, Dr. Drew, and I wish I had it in front of me, I don't. I saw someone quote a statistic that said that the rate of pregnancy from rape is lower than the average of rape of pregnancy from the normal population. Is that possible?
That's possible, and who knows what the factors are. I think that's probably why I've occasionally seen literature people try to understand and look at. But listen, look at the circumstance of rape. Isn't that just enough to say that maybe perhaps something doesn't get where it needs to go the way it would otherwise? You know what I mean? Just saying. So yeah, maybe there is a little bit. That doesn't mean the whole thing is bizarre, right? This is a bizarre conversation we're having. Everybody agree with that?
Yes.
Kevin, help me out.
Absolutely,
here.
It's ridiculous. And I should say, you know, in the interest of fairness, I mean, lots and lots and lots of Republicans, all the way up to and including Mr. Romney, have come out and distanced himself from this comment and said, "No, that guy's he's a lunatic. He doesn't know what he's talking about."
That's right. Of course, it's foolishness to say things like that.
All right, and if we could spend just a couple of minutes with our friend Dr. Drew here on something else that has been quite newsworthy this week, and that is director Tony Scott, who I wouldn't be surprised if you met at some point along the line, Dr. Drew, because he's been in Hollywood for a long time, making movies like Top Gun. Committed suicide jumping off the bridge down in where? San Pedro, I guess it was.
That high bridge. It's crazy.
Yeah, crazy story. And Ralph was really surprised by that. We talked about this earlier in the week, that he thought that was an awfully unusual way for somebody to commit suicide, a pretty violent way for somebody to commit suicide, and not necessarily an instant death, which is what most people are looking for, something quick and painless. You've probably had a lot of experience with talking to people involved in families with suicide. Were you surprised at all to see the method that he chose?
You know, no. Because people that, you know, think about his movies, and he's sort of a, you know, manic-y kind of extreme guy. People make grand gestures sometimes when they're committing suicide, and I think everyone knows that bridges and tall buildings, it's not a super common way to do it, but it happens. I've had patients do things like that, and you know, there have of course been people that have survived these kinds of dives. And when they survive, the one thing that they mostly report is the first thing that occurs to them as they step off the bridge is, I made a huge mistake. First thing goes to their mind. Now, maybe that is because the extreme experience raises the chemicals in their brain that corrects the depression a little bit, where they start to get some insight in that moment. Whatever it is, they immediately say to themselves, "Oh, this is a huge, huge mistake."
But getting to that point, we were talking about, you know, there were some rumors that he had brain cancer and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Getting to that point where you're jumping off a bridge, are you really in front of everybody? Sort of. Are you really trying to be seen doing that?
Yes. It's a grandiose, extreme gesture. But again, if you're so depressed or so manic, by the way, remember, manics are more likely to kill themselves. Bipolars are more likely to kill themselves in a manic state than in a depressed state. They do these extreme gestures. Now, in this case, there was lots of planning. There were notes. It's bizarre in that his whole life was about his little boys, and yet obviously they would be affected by this. So
right.
It doesn't sound like he was in his right mind. Now, just by saying somebody is suicidal, obviously they're not in their right mind, but that there were even more distortions. You have to wonder, I don't know, you know, again, was it bipolar? Because people think extreme things in that state.
Right.
Was there a substance involved with this? So there seems to be more going on. You're right. The Ralph is right to think that there's something funny about this particular episode.
This is why people come to the Good Time Kevin and Bean Show for the weekly visits with Dr. Drew to talk about rape and suicide. Dr. Drew, five nights a week with Psycho Mike on Loveline here on
K-Rock.
You are a party. And airing weeknights on HLN at 9 o'clock. It's the Dr. Drew Show. Thanks for joining us,
Thanks, guys.
Time for yet another Showbiz Beat. Ralph Garman joins us here on a Thursday Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on this hour?
Oh, Khloe Kardashian.
Uh-oh. What now?
On the L.A. freeway. Got rear-ended. In the other driver's defense, though, how can you avoid it? Really.
Takes up all four lanes.
If you've seen her rear end, you know, you would have to try hard not to hit her in the rear end, quite frankly. Apparently, it was a very slight accident. TMZ is saying it was so insignificant, neither Chloe nor the other driver bothered to exchange insurance information. So it was just a love tap on the LA freeway earlier today. All is well, and unfortunately, Chloe's fine. So,
is it fortunately?
Unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. They're just remaking everything, and I don't get some of their choices. A new series is going to be on television based on an old 1950s Western called Have Gun, Will Travel. At the time, it was a good idea for a series. It was about a gunslinger who, for a price, would come to your town and clean up your town.
Right.
Richard Boone played the lead character. Paladin was his name. He would settle disputes. Have Gun, Will Travel was his card he would give out to people.
Okay.
So it started as a radio show. Then it went to television. They're remaking that. They're bringing it back to television. Because no one can come up with a Western. Because there's no other ideas for a Western. We've got to go back to this one. Now, the upside is legendary playwright David Mamet will be overseeing the production. So that gives us some hope. But it just seems like... I know there's a guy out there someplace who's looking desperately for a gig in Hollywood who has a great idea for a Western. He's got it written down. He's slaved.
That's how it works, though,
isn't it? He's slaved away with his quill and his ink in his inkwell, and he sat there by candlelight and he wrote it out, and it's just the best Western ever written. But they're going to go back to a 1950s series because it has a name that some 94-year-old man in a home remembers and may watch it on CBS.
And that's the excellent point, Ralph, is to the vast majority of viewers, whether it's new or a reboot of a show they've never heard of, it's the same difference.
Right. So why? So why, I ask.
What's that Western that a lot of people are watching over there on AMC right now that's getting tremendous reviews? You guys know the one I'm talking about?
Hell on Wheels.
Hell on Wheels. That's it. Thank you,
Kate. Because Hal on Wheels. It's about actor Hal Linden.
Who's
who,
Hal?
Is on a tricycle.
Who is Hal? It's getting gangbuster ratings. I wouldn't have thought that a Western would draw much, but apparently there are people who love that genre.
The Western's ready for a comeback. That's why I want to see a new one, because I enjoy the Western genre, and I would like to see more of them. But anyway, news your news. While we're talking about Hal Linden. Remember Barney Miller? It was a sitcom about a bunch of cops in a New York City precinct. Well, the folks from Parks and Recreation are putting together a new sitcom about a group of cops in a New York City precinct. It's been sold to Fox. We're going to see that next fall as well.
All right.
So it sounds like Barney Miller again. And LL Cool J. Yeah, we talked about him stopping a robbery in his own home.
Roughed the dude up.
Broke his nose, broke his jaw, broke his ribs. LL Cool J standing up to protect his property and family. The story gets less cool when you look a little bit deeper. Today I found out the intruder was actually a 56-year-old homeless guy.
Didn't even know he was in his house?
No, he did. Apparently the guy's got a drug problem, and he was obviously looking for something he could fence or sell or whatever for drug money. But
so now instead of LL being a badass vigilante, now he's just an elderly abuser.
he roughed up an old druggie. So.
I don't know. You find somebody in your house in the middle of the night? I think that's your instinct.
I know. No, I'm not saying he shouldn't have done what he did. I'm just saying...
Bow to the dome, you know?
It's not as impressive if you beat up a drug-addled 56-year-old man than if you take on a strapping young burglar who's all dressed in black with a ninja mask on or something, and he's coming in to rob your stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you.
I'm saying this guy probably wasn't much of an opponent.
He's not Floyd Mayweather.
That's what I'm trying to get at here, so...
Probably didn't really even deserve a broken nose and a broken jaw either. He's probably just the guy that they needed to put in rehab.
You probably could have said, sit down. And he just would have sat down and waited for the cops to arrive. It probably wouldn't.
Don't move.
Would have been as effective. I'm just saying. That's all. And Taylor Swift is evil, but I don't have time to get that story.
So. Who is evil?
Taylor Swift. Who? Oh, I'm sorry. Tadoff Switler.
Thank you.
As she is known now. I'll get to that story in about 45 minutes. We'll come back for the next Showbiz Beat because we're out of time. Celebrity birthdays. Kobe Bryant. He plays basketball, from what I understand.
Plays basketball well.
People tell me.
He drives around in his $300,000 car talking on a cell phone, according to TMZ this week.
Yeah, he likes to chat away. How about a Bluetooth? $20.
Yeah.
What's that cost?
Easy upgrade.
34 today. Julian Casablancas, also 34. He of the Strokes, of course. Scott Kahn from Hawaii 5-0 and Entourage is 36. Our buddy Jay Moore, who was in earlier today, very, very funny today, as always. 42 years old. Dean DeLeo.
Stone Temple Pilots is 51. Rick Springfield and Shelley Long from Cheers both celebrate their 63rd birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9 minutes after 8 o'clock. I'm sorry. Hold on. 9 minutes after 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock, yes.
There we go.
That's correct. I have to be honest. We were one of the last radio stations in America, maybe even in the world, to have a website. Do you remember back in the good old days, Kevin?
The very last, yeah.
We were calling like tiny 500-watt radio stations in Iowa and going, you guys have a website. How come we don't have a website? And they were like, we don't know. It wasn't that hard. So we were pretty late to the game. But I have to be honest. We've made up some ground now. We have a damn good website now. KROQ.com and our page is KevinBean.com. We put up new stuff all the time. Lots of great news. Lots of great photos and interviews and video. And a lot of stuff you don't even hear about on the radio. You should definitely be checking it out. Bookmark it. Visit often. One of the things that we try to do about once a week or so is the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Can you hear me pushing the button?
I can. That's not what we were hoping for. What to do, really?
Can you hear?
Are the clips going to work? I see the theme has failed us, but will the clips work at least if we moved past
clips
this part?
Clips are on there as well. Nope, that doesn't work.
And I bet Beer Mug's out of the studio.
He is. He's gone.
Yay!
Now what we have to do is turn that... Yes, Omar, I would like that. Omar's going to play it from his studio.
All right, hang on a second. Let me find Omar's studio. This is going well.
This is not our finest
moment. Oh, no, I think this is good. This is going well.
It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
How do I bring up Studio Q?
What happened?
What'd you do?
All right, try it again, Bean.
It's brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. Click that mouse and open your browser. Plug your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
All right, like it never happened.
Don't leave Kevin alone with the equipment.
How
okay?
dare you? That was not my fault.
All right, what do you got for us?
I'm the first to point a finger at myself if it is. First, we have Hot Cheetos and Takis.
Hot Cheetos and Takis. Hot Cheetos and Takis. I can't get enough of these Hot Cheetos and Takis. Got my fingers stained red and I can't like get them off. You can catch me in my coat eating Hot Cheetos and Takis. Snack.
Love come it. On.
Love those kids
How
so much.
How old is that kid? 9?
I don't know. He's pretty young. Yeah, he's 10, 11, 11? Something like that. It is tight, though. It's Hot Cheetos, of course, which we love, and now with the Takis. That's a jam right there. You definitely have to check that video out.
This is a music video for Emily. This is a brokenhearted guy who got a Bryan Adams love song. I think it's Everything I Do.
I Do For You.
I
That's
do for
right.
You. Okay, so Bryan Adams sings it, and he brings it on a boombox, and he sings along with it. If you listen closely, you can hear how horrible his singing is.
And I feel bad for this kid. How old is he? Like 15 or
Maybe
something
15,
like that?
16.
And it's puppy love, and he loves this girl, Emily, so much.
Right.
This is the way he's going to show her how serious he is about her. And he's just kind of pasty and tubby, and he's walking through the woods,
it's
and he's
terrible.
Singing along. Oh, my God. It's gonna make you sad and laugh at the same time.
I know it's true. Everything I do.
He's also like a half second behind because he doesn't know the lyrics.
I do it for you.
By the way, I feel so bad for this kid because his heart's in the right place. His intentions are pure. He just wants to show Emily how much he loves her. So he puts this video up on YouTube. Now it has hundreds of thousands of hits. And every other comment is, hey, go kill yourself, you fat effing emo piece of ish. Like the kid doesn't have enough problems looking and singing like he does. Come on.
Don't put it on YouTube. Come on. Learn your lesson.
It's just sad.
There's a thing called honest trailers where they try to tell you the truth about movies. They don't try to sell you the movie. And this is the honest trailer for The Hunger Games.
A girl that will enthrall a nation through her stupid face, cheap-looking CGI fire, and completely emotionless delivery.
How do you find shelter?
Listen, I told her that I would try to win. How would they change you?
A film that forces two actors with no chemistry to awkwardly fall in love, which would have been far more believable if they would have cast him as PETA. I mean, I'm not gay, but I totally yells.
Yeah, so that happens. Kristen Bell and Dax Shepard are in this new movie Hit and Run, and apparently they're having trouble with their intimacy scenes. They're having real trouble making it look real on screen.
Yeah, they're a couple in real life, and that's fine at home. But now you've got to make love in front of an audience, basically. The cameras are there, and they just can't, for whatever reason, make it look natural.
So they bring in an intimacy coach, who is Tom Arnold.
Kiss your fiance like you love her. How about that?
You call that a feel-up?
What are you, like 15? What? Rupert Grint?
Who the f*** is Rupert Grint?
It's Ron from Harry Potter.
Get out!
What?
I'm jumping in. I'm taking over.
No. That's totally across the line. You're not getting in here with Kristen.
No, I'm getting in there with you.
Yeah, that's exactly what you don't want.
I hate to say this because Tom Arnold is involved, but that's pretty funny.
It is funny, yeah. Here's Bill Murray, the man, the myth, the legend.
Hello?
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 Hey!
I'm Bill Murray.
I'm a man.
I'm a god.
I'm a celebrity
actor. Check the record, Joe. I did some stuff. You're taking me back in time.
Bill Ghostbusters Murray.
Bill Murray.
Murray.
Another one of those where somebody went through every performance he's ever done and picked words out and made an amazing
video. Great. It's a supercut. And if you love Bill Murray like we do, this will bring you much joy. You should definitely check it out in the Internet Roundup.
Community is a show that we liked. Let's see. Alison Brie did a rap. We played that for you on their outtakes. And somebody took her rap and remixed it. It's so weird that anyone can make a song out of anything.
It sure is. And she's pretty, by the way.
Five Guys Burgers and Fries review. This is a guy who apparently takes requests, and somebody wanted him to give a review of Five Guys Burgers and Fries, and he's sitting in his car recording this.
Five Guys Burgers and Fries. Oh, my goodness. I got bacon just dropping out. That bacon is so serious, boy.
All right, so you take that guy and then you songify him.
You bite the fry bites back, my man. Damn, damn, damn. Crispy crunch. Damn. Look at the bacon. Damn. Get yourself that double cheeseburger. Damn, damn, damn. Get a grocery bag. Damn. The cheese is oozing. Damn. Let's do it.
That's amazing.
Nothing is real anymore until it gets remixed.
That's correct. You have to be songified or be remixed or it doesn't exist. Go to KevinandBean.com for today's Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Rob is here for the final Showbiz Beat on the Kevin and Bean Show. Let me tell you something about my man, Ralph.
All right.
He's fueled by hate,
yes.
Fueled by rage, fueled by anger.
And don't forget, fueled by Jack Daniels.
That's right. Jack Daniels, of course. But I feel a recommitment to the cause now that there's a new enemy on your horizon. Now that Tadolf Schwytler exists,
yes.
I feel like you could go another 40 years. I feel like there's no stopping you now.
It really has reinvigorated my commitment to excellence. Just hate, baby. That's the slogan we have around here at the stadium. And it really has brought me back. I think we're ready for a big run at the playoffs this year. Because she's an evil whore.
She is the devil.
She is.
I thought she was America's sweetheart like 2 weeks ago. Everybody loved
to
her.
You. Now
everybody who? Everybody who? White man?
Everybody.
Well, America,
her.
People who buy her records and see her concerts and watch her on TV and stuff like that, seemed like she was nothing but like sunshine and lollipops and puppies.
No,
and
they started putting up those videos of her reactions at all the award shows and all that. It seemed to all start going south then.
Yep. And all her BS songs about every breakup she ever had, as if she's the only person who ever had a relationship end. She had to write a song about every ex-boyfriend.
And now all of a sudden she's the devil incarnate.
She is.
Because we've caught on, because we figured her out, because now we can see it.
She is Tadolf Schwytler.
She is Tadolf Schwytler. And here's the thing. If you were going to put an agent of Satan on the planet, you would make her sweet and charming and lovely and just a little pixie, just singing her little songs, and make her wildly popular. That's how you get yeah. in.
And bringing young people into the fold.
Yes.
You know, getting them young, indoctrinating them to the
but
evil ways.
It's not the Charlie Mansons of the world we have to look out for, because we can look at them and say, oh, those evil bastards, they're crazy.
He's
we
got
hate
a swastika on
oh,
his forehead.
Oh, he's evil, we hate him. No one would buy into that, but you take Taylor Swift, make her the agent of Satan, and then that's how it all starts to happen. That's why
right, so
Tadolf Schwytler is here's what happened. What now? You know, she's obsessed with the Kennedys, more than likely because she probably killed JFK.
She definitely has something to do with it.
And she wants to make sure that the job gets finished.
Wait,
and
RFK for that matter, by
yes.
the way.
Yes.
Is she dating one of them, or what's
she is.
The
she's
tie-in?
Dating she's Connor dating. Kennedy.
Okay.
who is 18 years old.
Robert Kennedy Jr.'s son.
Right.
So she's just trying to weasel her way into the family.
She is 22. He is 18. Red flag? How many 22-year-old women do you know are looking to date 18-year-old boys?
If he's a Kennedy, probably
well, that's
a lot.
The thing. She's obsessed with Kennedy. She bought a compound. She bought her own house near the Kennedy compound where they vacation there in Martha's Vineyard.
Wow, that's bad. That's a red flag right
that's
there.
Stalkerish. Yeah, how long has she been dating creepy. The guy?
Yeah, like 3 weeks at that point. She bought a house down the street from him so she could look at him through the binoculars at night.
So there's a Kennedy family wedding this past weekend. And Connor Kennedy decides to take his new girlfriend to the family wedding. Now, Vicky Kennedy, mother of the bride, says she got a text about an hour before the wedding from Connor asking if they could come.
That's the best way to go to a wedding, by the way.
That's how they prefer the RSVPs, by the way.
Text the mom an hour before.
Yeah. You know, me and the Evites. Can you imagine if I got someone that just texted me that they were going to come after they said they weren't going to attend?
Hey, pull in a couple extra chairs. That can't be much of a bother, right?
Vicky Kennedy, mother of the bride again. This is at Boston's Fairmont Copley Plaza where they're having the event. Said, please, please do not come. That's how I responded, Vicky told the Boston Herald. Well, she tells the newspaper they came anyway. She asked that Miss Swift not come to the wedding because it is her daughter's big day as the bride, and she would think that Taylor Swift being there would take attention away from her daughter.
Which, by the way, is completely understandable.
Absolutely.
She would upstage the bride.
Yes, and that's not done.
And it's not like, and I can't believe I'm piling on here because you know I love her so much, but it's not like she was friends with the bride and there was a legitimate reason for her to be there. She didn't really know anybody in the room.
Right.
She's the devil.
So Vicky Kennedy says, I responded with a very clear, please do not come. They came anyway. I personally went up to Miss Swift, whose entrance distracted the entire event, politely introduced myself to her, and asked her nicely as I could to leave. It was like talking to a ghost, she told the Boston Herald. She seemed to look right past me. Well, here's the rest of the story. Taylor Swift refused to leave.
That's unbelievable.
Stayed, crashed the event, and stayed the evening anyway.
Tadoff
Switler.
If anyone at the wedding tells you they don't want you there, you leave.
And to add insult to injury, Taylor Swift's spokesperson denied the account of the weekend, saying there's no truth to that. Taylor was invited to the wedding, and the bride thanked her profusely for being there. This is the mother of the bride who told the Boston Herald the story. This isn't secondhand.
It's not like a rumor that got started on the internet.
Satan's spokesperson.
Tadoff Switler.
Tadoff Switler. She was 22. I wish.
Oh,
I wish I
you
could
wish.
Say that. Wouldn't that be great? She had
or
some kind of cartoon death.
She'll be the last one standing and the rest of us will all be dead. You
she'll
don't know,
be
man.
Cackling and then suddenly her face will peel back and the wings will sprout out from her back and she'll become the giant dragon that she is on the inside while the sky is raining ash cloth and the
she'll be breathing flames,
brimstone and sulfur in the air. We're all sinking into the lakes of fire. Then we'll say, oh, maybe we will never, ever, ever break up again. Wasn't such a good song for me to download.
We should have listened to that guy on the radio that told us that she was the
devil.
That's
right. You'll all be sorry then. By the way, she's got the number one song in America.
Oh, with that, we're never going to.
I'm never, ever, ever. I'm never, ever, ever. Leaving this wedding.
Is she a second grader?
She is.
I think mentally. You might be onto something, though, with how smart Satan is to be seductive and cute
but
and you'd too, never suspect.
But she's too sugary fake.
Like well, that's how you know she's not really sweet.
Yeah.
So you know it's all put on.
It's working.
Look, it's a great line in broadcast news where Albert Brooks says, if the devil was going to come to Earth, he wouldn't be all scary and stuff. He'd be a nice guy dressed in a nice suit and he'd be sitting there eating the evening news, making you believe all those lies. That's what we're talking about here.
I'm with you.
Telling you people, no one listens. No one listens. You went ahead, you gave Chelsea Handler a TV show, you let Justin Bieber into the country. I'm telling you, got to start listening to me. I'm only looking out for your well-being, for God's sakes. Let me tell you about a good person, Melissa Joan Hart, Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Ha, see? That's how they get you. She said, I'm a witch. Not really a
witch.
Not a witch. She's a nice person.
Right.
She's been doing a very cool thing for the families of American military members. She is hosting an event called Operation Shower, which is a party for... No, stop. Get your mind out of the gutter.
I just, for a minute, I thought...
Like baby shower. Oh. It's a party for moms-to-be that have a family member who is recently deployed, who can't be there for them. So she's getting all these pregnant moms together, and they're going to shower them with baby gifts and diapers and stuff and things that they need for their upcoming babies, and they're going to have a
boring.
Giant event.
It's not for you.
Oh, such a nice thing she's doing.
Like all women, she needs a husband to make her complete.
And Eli Roth, he's been teasing us for some time with a little movie called Thanksgiving.
Yes, he has.
Thanksgiving, of course, was the fake trailer that he made for the Grindhouse feature, one of the many fake trailers they had on that movie. But it was the one that we got most excited about. It was a slasher film. Back in the 70s and 80s, they used to have... I guess it started with Friday the 13th. They started making slasher films about every possible holiday. There was Leprechaun, remember, for
sure.
St. Patrick's Day. And then they had... there was one for Christmas called Silent Night, Deadly Night, about right, a murderous right. Santa Claus.
Right.
And if they could think of a holiday, they did it. But apparently they never did one for Thanksgiving. So Eli Roth came up with a very funny fake trailer for a slasher horror movie about Thanksgiving.
This holiday season, prepare to have the stuffing scared out of you. Thanksgiving, white meat, dark meat, all will be carved. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving from director Eli Roth. Thanksgiving. You'll come home for the holidays in a body bag.
Come on.
Remember the guy humping the turkey?
Yes, that's right.
So we've been asking for this film since we saw that. And he's been teasing us with the idea that he's going to make a real movie version of it. And he's committed to other projects. He's done other things. Finally, he was talking to a group of people... at a website called Behind the Thrills about his Las Vegas attraction, because Goratorium it's called. And he said they're finally going to sit down and write the screenplay. He said, we're going to write the screenplay, me and my writing partner Jeff, along with his two other guys, John Watts and Chris Ford. We'll have a draft soon, so apparently at least the screenplay will be finished, and then it's just a matter of going into production and making the film. But it's we're one step closer to a real Thanksgiving than we were before. So
I want it so badly, Ralph, but do you think the concept survives the transformation to a real film? It's funny. It's great at 2 minutes. How is it at 90?
I think it's hilarious at 90.
This holiday season, prepare to have the stuffing scared out of you.
Come on. It's going to be great. Let's give away some tickets while we're talking about scary movies to K-Rock's advanced screening of the movie called Possession.
Yay!
The Possession's about a young girl who buys an antique.
Ticket to Taylor Swift.
That's right. She buys an antique at a yard sale, but what she doesn't know is that the antique box is actually filled with a malicious ancient spirit of Taylor Swift inside of it. And she opens up the box and displays that. We're never, never, never bad. She gets possessed by the spirit of Tadoff Switler. Great cast. Jeffrey Dean Morgan, one of my favorites. Love him on Magic City. Kira Sedgwick, also in the film. They play the mother and father of this young girl who gets possessed by this demon. And they have to find a way to end the curse upon their child. It's in theaters everywhere on Friday, August the 31st. You can see it for anybody else next Tuesday, August the 28th at the AMC Burbank. If you call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First two callers to get through, we'll get a pair of passes to see The Possession. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Kobe Bryant, Lakers guard, 34 years old today. Julian Casablancas of The Strokes is 34. Scott Kahn from Hawaii Five-0 and also Entourage. The son of actor James Caan is 36 years old. Actor Jay Moore, our buddy Jay, we had on the show today, 42 years old.
If you didn't hear Mr. Moore this morning, one of his funniest appearances ever, please check out the Kevin and Bean podcast later, either at kevinandbean.com or through iTunes where you can subscribe.
He was on fire.
Later today or whenever we get to it.
Right, right.
Dean DeLeo, Stone Temple Pilots, is 51. Shelley Long, I guess, became a big star, really, with Cheers. You ever see the movie Night Shift? She did with Michael Keaton and Henry Winkler.
I love that
great
movie.
Film.
I love that movie.
She's 63 years old today, as is singer, actor, icon, legend, genius, stud.
Easy.
Rick Springfield. Woo! 63 years old.
I wish that I had Jesse's girl. I wish that I had Jesse's girl. Where can I find a woman like that?
play along with the charade.
You should see Rob.
I love that song.
What a doofus.
I am going to just, I'm going to strip down to my underwear and just air guitar in front of the mirror today to celebrate Rick Spring. I'm going to play the old greatest hit CD and just get down.
Kevin, is that an old song that even you like, by the way?
I think I do, yeah.
I haven't heard it
in 20 years, but
I don't know anybody who doesn't like that song.
That's a great tune.
Yeah.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have Jimmy Kimmel on the program.
What?
How about his move from his television show from 12:05 to 11:35 p.m.?
Getting engaged, hosting the Emmys, nominated for an Emmy this year. Got it all.
What's happening? Rob Dyrdek on the program tomorrow. We also have stuff that did not stay in Vegas, like the rule says it's supposed to, with
like naked,
Prince Harry.
Naked pool playing?
Yes. That seems to happen all the time, especially these days that everybody has a camera on their phone.
Yeah.
People, stop it. You really do have to give up your phones at the door. And we also have Joseph Gordon-Levitt tomorrow, who's the star of Premium Rush. So that's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin.